Okay, well, good morning. It's great to see everyone and want to welcome you to the December 12th, 2025 Michigan State University Board of Trustees meeting. And at this time, I will call the meeting to order and turn to Board Secretary Fletcher for our meeting protocol.
Hello, greetings. Welcome to the December 2025 MSU Board of Trustees meeting. Today's agenda is filled with several significant action items of university business. There are several speakers, including those who have come for public participation. As a framework up front, in the event of a disruption that prevents the board from conducting business or the members of the public from hearing or observing the meeting will be recessed or adjourned. If the meeting's recessed, the board will meet via Zoom within 10 minutes of the recess occurring, and regrettably, there would be no opportunity for public comment at that stage. Individuals found to be disrupting the meeting will be subject to applicable university ordinances and conduct policies. Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I'd ask if there's a motion to approve today's agenda.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The agenda is approved. So I will turn to my remarks for today, and again, just welcome everyone. And it's hard to believe that we're here at the end of another semester, fall semester. It seems like we were just here gathering for our first meeting of the year. But again, I really appreciate so many of you coming out today. And later today and tomorrow, we'll have the pleasure of celebrating nearly 4,800 new Spartan graduates who will receive their baccalaureate or advanced degrees. And these are what I like to say the highlight of our academic year and a joyful, celebrating the joyful milestones in the lives of our graduates. These are among my favorite events of the year. I enjoyed hosting alongside several of our senior leaders and faculty, many of our graduating students last week at our Coles House reception, taking photographs there with them, hearing about their journey at Michigan State and the impact that this incredible place has had on their lives is also one of the highlights of my semester every year. We also enjoyed with several of our graduates climbing to the top of Beaumont Tower for the Beaumont Tower climb. And on Monday, Amy and I enjoyed treating students studying for their final exams at the library, greeting them with coffee and muffins, nourishing them to get ready for the journey ahead. As we prepare to celebrate these newest graduates, we should be proud to know that they come from 42 countries, 38 states, and 71 of Michigan's 83 counties. And I'm thrilled for each one of our graduates, knowing that they'll carry with them the Spartan will into their the next phase along their journey. They also include 274 honors college students and 2,743 students who have been on the dean's list at least once. And very impressively, 51 of the graduates will march tomorrow with multiple degrees. Later this morning, I look forward to helping salute the 86 graduating seniors earning the Board of Trustees Award for compiling perfect grade point averages throughout their 4 years here at Michigan State, and that is an incredible achievement for these 86 graduating students. I've been so impressed by the determination of Spartan students to succeed in their degree programs and to make a difference in the world. The experiential education opportunities that that they tell me about often are what I think sets our students apart. We're very proud of what they've accomplished here and what they'll go on to do in serving as ambassadors for Michigan State University. A highlight of our commencement ceremonies is always our guest commencement speakers who offer our graduates compelling personal examples of perseverance, innovation, and lifelong curiosity. Today, Dr. Joan Rose, the Homer Nolan Chair in Water Research and Director of the MSU Water Alliance, will address our advanced degree recipients. As you know, Dr. Rose is internationally recognized for her work in water microbiology and public health. Tomorrow, we'll have three ceremonies. And another well-known Spartan, Dr. Lee June, will address our first ceremony of the day's honorees. Dr. June has been an exceptionally engaged scholar, educator, and mentor here for more than 50 years on our campus. Kevin Conroy, a distinguished alum and CEO and chairman of Exact Sciences, will address the next group. And another familiar name, former MSU Provost and retired Chancellor of the University of California, Riverside, Kim Wilcox, will speak in the final ceremony of the day. So I just want to offer up my appreciation to all of them. I know that these are familiar names to many of you here in the room, and I hope you'll have an opportunity to say hello and welcome a few of them back home. Our graduates will enter the next stage of their life journeys, bearing degrees and skills, equipping them for careers that will span well into the 21st century, and often filling careers and jobs that don't even yet exist today. That they made a great choice coming to Michigan State was validated by higher education writer Jeffrey Salingo in his latest book profiling what he calls 75 American Dream Schools. Yes, we are a dream school. These are colleges and universities that, like MSU, offer a high-quality education, excellent student experiences, and great employment outcomes while remaining more accessible and affordable than blue-blood institutions we could all name. We were proud to announce just this week that Michigan State ranks number 9 among all U.S. public universities and number 34 overall in employability of college graduates. And with higher education under the microscope, as it has been for more than a decade, I would think that employability is certainly a metric that we should be proud of for our graduates. That Times Higher Ed ranking is based on those universities that top corporate recruiters think best prepare students for the workplace. Michigan State is focused on offering our students career exploration and curricular and experiential learning opportunities to thrive in a dynamic 21st century economy and for jobs that might not yet even exist. And there's more to come as we look forward in the coming weeks to receiving recommendations from our Green and White Council. Those ideas will help us further strengthen the state's workforce, connect students to high-quality careers, and accelerate innovation across Michigan's industries. And to underscore the excellence of the world-class power, faculty powering our educational programs, 8 researchers and professors were recognized recently among the world's most highly cited researchers. They are literally 1 in 1,000 among their peers. So congratulations to them, their departments, and colleges. I get to meet a lot of impressive students, and I shared a meal with one such group last week, entrepreneurs from our Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And these are incredible students. I always learn more than I contribute whenever I visit with them over a meal. Their curiosity inspires me, and stay tuned, because what they're going to do as they enter the world here is going to be incredible, and that's what Spartans do. We recently learned that MSU now ranks among the top 10 schools in entrepreneurship education, according to the Princeton Review, based on our academic programs, faculty engagement, student experiences, and alumni success. I'm sure that you all agree with me that it's been a very eventful few weeks here at Michigan State, including the exciting announcement of our largest private financial commitment ever. People believe and trust in Michigan State University and the innovations that we're introducing at every level across the campus. And the recent Edelman Public Opinion Survey data supports this. Let's talk about the way we've engaged donors like Greg and Don Williams, who without question believe in Michigan State University. Greg and Don Williams are committing $401 million to MSU, an investment that will shape the future of our athletic and academic programs for years to come. Not only is this the largest commitment in our university's history, it's one of the largest to any athletics program in the nation. Most of that will support Michigan State Athletics Competitive Excellence Fund, accelerating our ability to compete nationally and build a sustainable foundation for long-term success while supporting the self-sufficiency of our athletics operations. Our For Sparta initiative, part of our Uncommon Will, Far Better World campaign, will allow us to invest in facilities and programs, giving student athletes optimal spaces to compete in and train in, while offering the Spartan community and our fans great game day experiences. $11 million of the Williams' commitment will be directed toward academic initiatives, including the Burgess Institute, the Risk Management and Financial Insurance Program, both in the Broad College of Business, the Sparty Program, supporting student leadership and spirit initiatives, and also will support the Spartan marching and pep bands. Greg and Don aren't Spartan alums, but they are highly engaged community and university supporters, including serving as our inaugural co-chairs for our Uncommon Will, Far Better World capital campaign. I know they share our belief in what Michigan State stands for: opportunity, grit, and shared responsibility to lift up one another. There's a lot of questions around fundraising and what we're trying to support, and I enjoyed our conversation with our faculty liaisons yesterday, our at-large members to the Faculty Senate, about campaign giving to support academic and research endeavors here at Michigan State. Athletics certainly gets a lot of attention, but to add some perspective to our fundraising efforts, $3 billion of the $4 billion goal of our comprehensive campaign supports students, faculty, and Michigan State's academic enterprise. I mentioned previously the $10 million gift from Mike and Mary Lamont for the Engineering Digital Innovation Center at our last meeting, but we have many others who make academic giving a priority. And nearly 70% of giving in the campaign to date has been to support our academic and research programs. And while our top 100 athletics donors prioritize sports, they have still contributed 30% of their lifetime giving to academic units. In fact, our top 200 donors have directed 92% of their lifetime giving to academic priorities. There are people like Chuck and Jackie Fraser, whose continued support to the School of Packaging will modernize one of MSU's most distinctive and globally recognized programs. They include Deval Vanasali, a young alumnus and Spartan MD who established the Vanasali Innovation Scholarship to cultivate the next generation of physician leaders, a reminder that the will to give back is strong across every stage of life. And let's not forget the 2,500 who stepped up earlier this month on Giving Tuesday to support programs and initiatives across the university. Each of these donors, like Greg and Don Williams, saw something in MSU worth investing in. They saw talent, possibility, and momentum, and they responded, and we're grateful. So far, overall, we've raised $1.67 billion toward the $4 billion campaign goal, from 131,262 donors, to be exact, and I'm sure that that's changed since I prepared my remarks yesterday. So, again, we're grateful, and people believe in this place, again, because of our world-class faculty, our incredibly dedicated staff, and our very curious students. So, when you look at all the academic, athletic, innovation, and cultural challenges in front of Michigan State, it really takes all of us working together as one team to tackle them. One of our key players, Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, as you know, will retire shortly after a distinguished career as a scientist and leader. Doug's been by my side from the day I arrived. And I am grateful, and I will keep you on speed dial for sure. But we're going to have a little more to say later in the meeting about Dr. Gage, but I just wanted to thank Doug now for the many contributions to Michigan State and to me personally. We have another scholar and leader to reaffirm today with the approval of Glenn Chambers as Dean of the Honors College on today's agenda. Provost McIntyre recently recommended Dr. Chambers for the permanent dean position, as he served as associate dean and since June as interim dean. He's been active in supporting the renovation of Campbell Hall as a residential community for Honors College students, and I know how much our students value his leadership and mentorship. And we recently welcomed a new Spartan into our global family, and the board today will consider formal approval for Pat Fitzgerald to become our Spartan football head coach. He's a proven leader who understands the full mission of intercollegiate athletics, including academic achievement and the holistic development of our student athletes, in addition to competitive excellence. If you saw him firing up the crowd at our Big Ten basketball season opener and dropping the puck at the hockey game, you'll have no doubt about his enthusiasm for Michigan State University and our excitement about him. So a warm Spartan welcome to Coach Fitzgerald. It's an exciting time for Spartan athletics. And as we look forward to MSU's fall graduation celebrations, we can take a lot of pride in the latest information on student-athlete graduation rates. According to the NCAA, our student-athletes posted a four-year federal graduation rate of 81%, which ties the highest in department history and marks the fifth straight year at 80% or better. And that puts us third in the Big Ten and eighth among Power Four conferences peers, fourth among public institutions. We're grateful for the hard work. I think that deserves a round of applause. And an additional salute to our women's soccer team, which wrapped up their season in the NCAA quarterfinals, their first ever Elite Eight appearance after back-to-back Sweet 16s. Well done, Spartans. And I think that deserves a round of applause. So as I wrap up my remarks, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the individual sitting to my left. And this is Chair Kelly Tebay's final meeting as chair of the Board of Trustees. Fortunately, Kelly will still be with us on the board, for the next, hopefully, many years. But I couldn't have had a better partner. Again, if you want to talk about having someone on speed dial, it's been Kelly. We talk oftentimes every day, every other day. You've been a great partner, and I just want to thank you for all that you've done, and I know will continue to do for us. So, round of applause. And on a seasonal note, and with gratitude to our Spartan community, with best wishes for our next semester and for 2026, holiday lights are a great way to brighten up the season. So we added some to Beaumont Tower and asked some campus community members to join us on Monday evening for its first lighting. I hope you enjoy this look at our inaugural Beaumont Tower lighting, and that will conclude my remarks for today with this video.
3, 2, 1.
Really excited to be out here this evening, heading over to Beaumont Tower to light the tower. We're here at what I like to call is the heart of our campus at Beaumont Tower. We're starting a new tradition here at Michigan State.
3, 2, 1.
Yes, as I was about to connect that cord, did I think about Clark Griswold and whether I might have a Clark Griswold moment? Yes, I will admit that it did cross my mind. At any rate, I want to take the opportunity to thank all of those that made that possible. It was an idea that was conceived a few months ago, Heather Swain, Emily Grant, and their team, and also want to just thank the IPF team for stringing those lights. I had a student ask me if I strung the lights, and I said no, I did not. We have an incredible IPF team. They would never have trusted me to string the lights. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Board Secretary Fletcher for public participation on items germane to the agenda.
Thank you very much, President Guskowitz. We'll now proceed to the public participation on items germane to the agenda portion of the meeting. Each individual who signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. You will hear the buzzer at the 30-second mark and again when your time has concluded. Given the number of speakers today, we ask you do not exceed your allotted time, and note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We will now hear from David Hogan, followed by Peyton Squires. David, are you with us? Good morning, David.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about the Advisory Committee for Responsible Investing, or an amendment to BOT 607. As most of the board knows, I've been here talking about divestment from weapons manufacturers in Israel for about 2 years now. And this committee, I feel, represents a big step back in the way which not just we will be asking for divestment, but all future campaigns. It sees us losing our primary ability to converse with the board. We can still come to these meetings, but there's now going to be an extra bureaucratic layer which prevents us from communicating our needs to the board. Another big issue with this is that it gives almost, as I see it, absolute power to President Guskowitz. President Guskowitz gets to pick all the committee members for this board and also has the ability to prevent their recommendations from being passed on to the Board of Trustees. On top of this, the proposal outlines that we may recommend changes on corporate investments, but makes no recommendations or acknowledgments of any sovereign bonds which we may want changed, which, as you know, we've been asking for divestment from the bonds that we have invested directly into the State of Israel, but this doesn't just apply to Israel. This applies to elements of the Saudi Arabian government, the Panamanian government, and the Mexican government. Students, as a number of around 50,000 of us here on campus, we do represent a large share of the stakeholders, and it does seem relatively unfair that students are granted a shorter stay on this committee, as well as the fact that there are only three student representatives. If you're asking this committee to make recommendations based on the greater good of the university, it would seem that there might want to be more than 12 people here, and I believe that the selection by President Guskowitz alone, although it does say that you may confer with other members of the university community, it seems relatively biased. I feel that not only is this relatively unfair to university activists and university shareholders, but there are a lot of questions about this amendment which need to be answered that have not been answered yet, which is why I'm asking you, the board, to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Our next speaker is Peyton Squires, followed by Anna Wildman. Peyton, are you with us? Okay. Our next speaker is Anna Wildman, followed by Henry Gerard. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Anna. Oh, sorry. My name is Anna Wildman, and I represent the Sunrise Movement at Michigan State. While I appreciate that the administration has done anything at all in response to student protests, I do not think that the Advisory Committee on Responsible Investing is a genuine step toward divestment. The creation of a committee made up of members conveniently handpicked by Guskowitz would be a tool to silence us rather than represent us, and an opportunity for the university to salvage its reputation without having to actually consider our demands. Even if there were members of the committee who represented the beliefs of the many students here who disagree with investment in genocidal governments, weapons manufacturers, and fossil fuels, the committee has little to no actual power. If you aren't willing to consider divestment after seeing our countless protests and public comments, then why should we believe that the creation of a powerless committee would change that? The plan for this committee should be revised to include volunteer representatives who actually represent the demands of student organizations. Discussions about divestment should be taken seriously, and the administration should have them with the genuine intent to act. Otherwise, they're meaningless. Know that we will not stop making noise until each and every one of our demands are met, and no attempt to distract us from our cause will change that. As students who are directly affected by the decisions you make as a board, you do not have a choice about hearing what we have to say, and with all due respect, you will not stop hearing what we have to say as long as our tuition is still being used to fund genocide and accelerate climate change. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Anna. Our last speaker in this section is Henry Gerard. Henry, good morning.
Good morning. I'm Henry Gerard, and I'm here today on behalf of the Sunrise Movement, which is a member of the Hurriya Coalition. I'd like to say that the Advisory Committee on Responsible Investing is nothing more than another bureaucratic barrier to deny MSU students, faculty, and employees the power they deserve in influencing the finances and political stances of our university. Also, nice job scheduling this hearing on the Friday of finals week. But time and time again, the Board of Trustees have shown that they are unwilling to heed the calls of their constituents. In the past 14 months, they've shown that they'd rather arrest 23 different students and community members, myself included, than discuss divestment in good faith. Last year, the Board of Trustees removed the social conscience clause from their investment policy because, in the words of former trustee Dan Kelly, social conscience means different things to different people. What could profiting off an apartheid regime, weapons manufacturers, and fossil fuel corporations be but a social and ethical failing? We do not need another bureaucratic organ to figure that out. The ACRS charter makes vague calls for the committee to demonstrate extraordinary circumstances and considerable thoughtful and sustained campus interest just to make recommendations to the president and to the board. First, the international and scientific community have overwhelmingly shown that the genocide in Gaza and the climate crisis constitute extraordinary circumstances. Israel is confirmed to have killed 67,000 Palestinian people and likely hundreds of thousands of more, all a part of their decades-long project to erase the Palestinian people and to steal their land. The fossil fuel corporations you invest in are the greatest contributors to the climate crisis and are undermining our existence and destroying the futures of young people. Second, what has the campus community done but show considerable thoughtful and sustained interest in these causes? We've been fighting for divestment from Israel for 3 years now and for divestment from fossil fuels for longer. We have shown that we are more than willing to engage in open civil discourse, just like President Guskowitz claims to support, and it is your refusal to meet with us and to hear our concerns in good faith that have seen us resort to disruptive tactics. And third, I'd like to point out that the ACRI is undemocratic and has no real power. Instead of being elected by the people that they are supposed to represent, these positions are appointed by President Guskowitz, meaning that he will probably just cherry-pick whoever aligns with his agenda. The power to make recommendations means nothing when the president and trustees have shown that they are more than willing to ignore us. For this committee to be legitimate, it needs to be chosen democratically and have actual leverage, not just the ability to come to a consensus, to make a recommendation to the president who can decide whether or not to bring it to the Board of Trustees, who can decide whether or not they want to listen. Frankly, that's ridiculous. The simple answer is to divest. The creation of the ACRI is part of a long line of actions taken to ignore students, erect further bureaucratic barriers, and placate the public and press. It's time to stop playing the PR game and stand with your students and faculty on denouncing a genocide, divesting from fossil fuels, and standing up to the Trump administration. Vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. President Guskowitz, that concludes this portion of the meeting.
Turn it back to you for the consent agenda.
That's that sounds good. Happy to just carry on. Consent agenda is used to group routine items for consideration in one motion, increasing meeting efficiency and allowing more time for items that may require further discussion or attention. The following items are included on this meeting's consent agenda. Approval of the October 31st, 2025 meeting minutes of the Board of Trustees. The gift, grant, and contract report for the period of October 2nd, 2025 through November 19th, 2025. The report is a compilation of 385 gifts, grants, and contracts, plus 11 consignment non-cash gifts with a total value of $120,320,150. Budget and Finance Committee, Item 2, Authorization to Plan MSU Farm Bureau Pavilion at MSU, the addition there. Item 3, the authorization to plan for the anaerobic digester expansion and renewable natural gas facility addition. Item 4 from Budget and Finance, authorization to proceed Farm Lane Road and utility reconstruction. Item 5, sale and ground lease of property, 195 Crescent Road, East Lansing, Michigan. And then from Audit, Risk, and Compliance, the conflict of interest approval of contract terms items, or item that is publicly filed and noted with the board's agenda. And so we need a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
One question. The contract for Coach Fitzgerald is within the consent agenda here because it's part of the...
No, it is not. The personnel report is not on the consent agenda today. It is the gift, grant, and contract report only today.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yep. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Consent agenda passes. Thank you. With that, we're now going to turn to Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, who will introduce today's performers.
Thank you very much. It's really my great pleasure to organize these events every board meeting. I think one might think that the research office only cares about grant and awards, and that's actually not the case. We are very proud of our work in all areas of scholarship and the arts. So today we're going to have a real treat, and I will try to be as brief as possible so we'll have more time to listen to our really outstanding students. So I'd like to introduce Dmitry Berlinski. He's a professor of violin and artist teacher at the Michigan State University College of Music, along with the International Chamber Soloist. It's really a remarkable ensemble of MSU students, string players, of student string players. Dmitry founded this group in 2004 to provide advanced students with opportunities to explore a diverse repertoire while collaborating with world-class musicians, including members of the MSU faculty and musicians from leading orchestras. Over the years, the International Chamber Soloists have grown into a professional ensemble that brings together MSU string students with musicians from major orchestras and leading music institutions. Its members have included performers from the New York Philharmonic, Boston Symphony, Detroit Symphony, and Cincinnati Symphony, as well as distinguished alumni and students at Juilliard, the Manhattan School of Music, the Curtis Institute, University of Michigan, and Yale University. The ensemble has toured widely across the United States and internationally and has performed at a number of prestigious festivals. They have been featured at notable venues such as the Fontana Arts Festival in Kalamazoo, the San Francisco Conservatory for the MSU Gala Concert, and the Wharton Center Collage Concert. The group has received wide acclaim for its artistry, energy, and versatility in performance. This work really reflects MSU's commitment to advancing creative scholarship and fostering global collaboration, demonstrating how artistic research and performance enrich communities and elevate MSU's impact worldwide. This is really one of the reasons we are a leading global public research institution. Today, Professor Berlinski and the International Chamber Soloists will share their work and perform Antonio Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Please join me in welcoming Dmitry Berlinski and the International Chamber Soloists.
Wonderful introduction. So I just would like to say a few words. It's my 25th year here at the College of Music at MSU. It has been an incredible journey. And I really love teaching, working with extremely talented young musicians from all over the world. But creating and working with International Chamber Soloists has been really a highlight of my tenure here. It's very special to not only teach, but to interact with these wonderful musicians and to work and perform together, because it really creates a very special atmosphere. It creates special environment for us to be in equal partners in this kind of participation. And it makes very meaningful for me as a performer, and I believe for students as well, to share this experience. So we're really excited to be here and to play for you. And just an interesting thought I had another day when I watched an incredible video with Robert playing the violin. So it was quite amazing that Robert could actually play the violin. But it wouldn't be accepted at MSU. And definitely wouldn't be part of our group. And I told my students and members of the group that as long as we continue being creative and we work on what we really love, there's a future for us, and hopefully everyone can be part of this beautiful future of art and communication from this very special, unique language. And so this is a group of international musicians coming from all over the world. And we speak different language, but when we play music, we find a common language. We're going to perform Vivaldi. None of us speak Italian well. But nevertheless, we find some kind of ground here. So I would like to pass the mic, and these wonderful students will introduce them.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dia, and it's my second year here in the United States. And I'm also a second year DMA student here at College of Music. Yeah, I come from China, and I spend most of my life in China, spending with my family here. Yeah, so it's a great honor for me, and I'm also really happy to perform here and study here. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Qin Zhuo, and I'm also from China. And today, I think it's my pleasure to participate in this amazing group and in this dream school with my dream professors. And I hope you enjoy this. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alir Nakariva, and I'm from Uzbekistan, Tashkent, Central Asia. I play violin, and I'm a third year DMA student, Doctorate of Musical Arts, going towards that. And I did my master's degree in here, so it's a dream place. Yeah, I agree. It's an honor to be here and play for you, and we're so excited to share this wonderful music with you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Leonid Tsui. It's my third year here at the United States at MSU, and I came here all the way from Uzbekistan, Tashkent, to study with my professor, wonderful Dmitry Belinsky, and I hope you will enjoy today's performance. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chonghua Zhu. I come from China, Henan, and it's my second year doctor student. I'm a second year doctor student, and the reason I come here because of the Professor Belinsky is a really famous violinist, and he's also the really nice teacher, and also the MSU campus. Yeah, and also the MSU campus is really beautiful and big, and which is really appeal to me too.
Hello, everyone. I am Amy Chang, and I come from Taiwan. I was really lucky to be accepted here to learn with Professor Belinsky. So, yeah, I really learned a lot, and I really love MSU, and I hope you all enjoy the performance.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jay Lin. I'm from Taiwan. I play viola, and I'm so happy to be here to play with Professor Belinsky.
Good morning. My name is Gafur. I'm a DMA student in viola performance, and it's a pleasure to be here today. Sorry, I'm from Uzbekistan also.
Hello, everyone. My name is Wigan from Qingdao, China, and I'm also the second year DMA student at MSU. I came here because of the professor Bagratuni. Yeah, the cello professor, and I really love. I really love the campus and the city. Yeah, hope you guys enjoy the performance. Thank you.
What? Sorry, where are you from?
Qingdao, China.
I'm Sam Stover. I'm here for my second year in a Master's of Music for double bass performance, and I'm from York, Pennsylvania. So.
Good morning. I'm Noah Millett. I am neither an international student nor a string player. I'm from Big Rapids, Michigan, and I'm playing harpsichord.
Thank you. Can I comment? I have chills, number one. But Professor Belinsky, I was wondering when all of them would look at you and say, oh, I came because of him. He is that guy, right? Now I get it. And it's so incredible. As a trustee, you know, we were in the College of Music. I saw Dean Forger back there looking like a proud father as you all were playing. But the talent that we have at this university, I had never heard of you before today. And now I'm like, I got to look this man up. I'm going to Google you when I get out of here. I'm like, this is incredible. I have chill bumps. You took us through every emotion you could possibly have. And I was thinking as each of your strings were falling off, whatever that thing is that you play with, I'm like, those were the strings of my heart. Like, as I'm listening to this, it was just incredible. So thank you so much for sharing your talent with us. I am so incredibly proud of all of you. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. This has got to be, in my years as a trustee, one of my favorite performances that we've had. So kudos. I hope you all get A's. Yeah, for that. So
that's exactly what I thought. Like, okay, wait, they're all extolling this fellow. It's grade day. Mm-hmm. You put in grades today, yes? Yeah. But it's not because of that. Honestly, your passion just, I mean, I've never seen anyone so passionate and vivacious when they play. But then everyone's in tune and thinking about you and each other at the same time. I pay attention to every single, like, player. You all have these very, very small notes to hit, and then you have brought, and you don't even look up. You can feel him. And then you feel each other. It's just amazing to watch you all in sync. And it was beautiful, gorgeous. The music was all gorgeous. But watching you all work together has actually been the most touching part for me. I appreciate you all coming.
Thank you. But it's actually, you know, it's a wonderful example of teamwork, because it's what we really have to tune into the music and to hear each other and to communicate, because it's not about just playing your own part. And this is a tremendous joy for me, because I get a lot of energy and creative ideas from these young, very talented musicians. And it's why it's so special to have this kind of experience for all of us, to be part of this.
No, thank you. Chair Scott, you better step it up next year.
My question is, as I've watched everyone, as did Trustee Vassar, I'm with a background in sports medicine. I'm always looking for, like, you know, where are the injuries and how do you train for the performance like this? I mean, there's a lot of the physical nature of this performance is incredible. I mean, do you experience like overuse injuries? How do you train to do what you do?
It's more emotional injuries. We try to stay away from the physical injury. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It's a lot of training from very early age. And we experience some issue with overplaying, so we have to be very careful, because at the point when somebody is not careful, it can cost a lot of time and the career and the music. So we have to be very, very, very accurate about it, because it's a lot of work. We work as athletes, and maybe even more from the early age.
I have one quick question too. I want to echo everything that my colleagues have said. This was amazing. Where else can we see you perform? You know, I'm lucky enough to be here locally in East Lansing. I'd love for my family to see you perform. Do you have a performance coming up? Can you?
We've played a few actually performances, but I'm sure we'll be in touch. You'll know as soon as you sign up to the College of Music newsletter.
There you go.
You'll know everything.
And
we have wonderful facilities.
I want to see more.
We have new facility. We have old facilities. There's a lot of going on. Students are performing lots of recital. In the last few weeks, I had 10 students performing, some of them here, performing full recitals. And it's for me, it's overwhelming to hear how they developed and how really advanced they are. So please come to the concerts. We have concerts every day and many concerts every
Thank
day.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to take a moment here on behalf of the Board of Trustees to honor Doug Gage. Yeah, Doug. Surprise! I remember in 2020 when Doug Gage looked at me and he said, Brianna, we're going to get to $1 billion in research funding. I remember that. You remember that conversation? And I was like, Doug, you can do it. You can do it. So, man, you've gotten super close, super close. And I, on behalf of the Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee, as the chair, have an opportunity to read this resolution on behalf of the Board of Trustees. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees expresses its deepest appreciation to Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, for his contributions to MSU and its global research reputation. Under Dr. Gage, MSU's research expenditures grew nearly 31% since he told me in 2020 he was going to reach $1 billion. He, as of 2024, had over $932 million of funding for MSU. Let's give him a round of applause just for that. That's incredible. Dr. Gage played a pivotal role in launching MSU's Global Impact Initiative, a highly successful recruiting program that brought more than 140 new faculty members to the university. This high-performing cohort significantly contributed to the university's research growth and, of great importance to our land grant mission, to the development of innovative solutions to the problems that confront us. Maintaining MSU's long-standing leadership in plant research, he has worked collaboratively with faculty on various iterations of the Plant Science Excellence Strategic Planning Process, with the most recent recommendations leading to the construction of the new Plant and Environmental Sciences Building. Dr. Gage has overseen or served on committees for several major projects, including the establishment of the Institute for Quantitative Health Science and Engineering and the IQ Building, which opened in 2016. He also served as the academic lead for both the Molecular Plant Sciences Building in 2010 and the Interdisciplinary Science and Technology Building in 2019. Before leading MSU's research and innovative enterprise, Dr. Gage started his career at MSU in 1986 as a postdoctoral researcher at the Michigan State University Department of Energy Plant Research Laboratory under Professor Yazavart. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Dr. Gage was actively involved with MSU's mass spectrometry facility, including serving as its director before returning to a tenure-track position in biochemistry. His research focused on the biosynthesis and metabolic engineering of plant compounds, leading to advances in plant resilience and drug recovery. After leading research teams at Pfizer, Dr. Gage's strong background in research and industry brought him back to MSU in 2007 as an assistant vice president for research and graduate studies, where he, among other endeavors, supported the development and launch of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. At MSU, Dr. Gage has forged partnerships across disciplines. His collaborative approach has been instrumental in initiatives such as the Cornwall Health MSU Alliance, the Michigan Translational Research and Commercialization Program, the USAID Grain Research and Innovation Project, the University Autism Spectrum Disorder Project, and research integration with Henry Ford Health. An engaged leader, Dr. Gage has worked closely with many stakeholders, including the MSU Research Foundation, thank you, to develop programs that support faculty, such as Research Foundation professorships. Testifying to his scholarly influence, a presenter at the recent 60th anniversary celebration of the Michigan State University Department of Energy Plant Research Laboratory, wow, look at you, you little baby there, noted how a publication by a young postdoctoral fellow, look at him, a young postdoctoral fellow named Doug Gage, had a profound impact on his own research. Such impact, together with the dedicated team Dr. Gage cultivated, speaks to the legacy he leaves the university in the pursuit of scientific knowledge. Today, the Board of Trustees is pleased to celebrate Dr. Douglas Gage's numerous contributions to the university and beyond, and we wish him very well and a happy retirement, although we're going to miss you greatly, Doug. Thank you. And I've been told by Stephanie's going to have a plaque soon. It was not completed yet. Doug, would you like to come up and say a few words? Like, how old were you in that little picture over there, 1988? Okay. You hear that, Stephen?
So, first of all, thank you all for that recognition. And really, it sounds like I did everything. It's really our faculty, our students, and the support of the administration, my predecessors, who've given me opportunities. So, you know, I think I'm happy to be the face of our research enterprise, but I really want to make sure that the entire campus gets credit for the achievements we've made over the years. So thanks for that.
Thank you again, Doug. Thank you, Trustee Scott. We will now move on to personnel actions and information reports. I'm going to turn to Provost McIntyre.
Good morning, everyone, and congratulations, Doug. Trustees, I present for approval the items on the December 2025 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointment: Krista Mahari, PhD, Associate Professor, C.S. Mott, Department of Public Health, with tenure, effective May 11th, 2026. I am delighted to recommend Glenn Chambers, PhD, Professor, Department of History, and Interim Dean, Honors College, for a change in title to Dean, Honors College, effective December 1st, 2025. I'm pleased to recommend Patrick Fitzgerald, Jr., Head Football Coach, Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, subject to contract, effective December 1st, 2025, through January 31st, 2031. I'm also pleased to recommend Thomas Izzo, Head Coach, Men's Basketball, Intercollegiate Athletics, subject to contract, effective January 1st, 2026. I present for approval the following promotion and tenure appointment. The following action includes a tenure recommendation, which was delayed last spring, recommended by the department chairpersons and school directors, the deans, and the provost, in accordance with the tenure rules. The promotion includes the award of tenure and is recommended to be effective January 1st, 2026. Oren Zeev, promotion to associate professor with tenure, Department of Economics. Also included in your materials are information reports on academic personnel actions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Second? Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The personnel actions are approved. Thank you. We'll now turn to committee reports, and we'll turn first to Trustee Pierce for our Committee on Budget and Finance report. Trustee Pierce.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I want to remind the group that items 2, 3, 4, and 5 have already been approved via the consent agenda that Stephen Fletcher went over this morning. And we'll start with, as chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby approves the charter and associated criteria for the Advisory Committee for Responsible Investing, we're calling it ACRI, in alignment with BOT 607, the Investment Policy Statement.
Support. Okay.
In December of 24, the Board of Trustees approved a comprehensive revision to BOT 607, the board's investment policy. One of those changes required the board within a year to establish the structure of a committee to consider investment change requests for non-financial reasons and the criteria the committee is to use when considering such requests. The proposal before the board today fulfills this requirement, establishing the Advisory Committee for Responsible Investing to review requests for investment changes for non-financial reasons. ACRI will make recommendations to the president consistent with the specific objective principles included in the proposal. The board and the president appreciated the feedback that we received from the faculty and the student liaisons yesterday. With the final proposal before the board today, especially around the committee's composition, was enhanced and changed by that dialogue. Today's vote allows the committee to be formed and begin its work shortly thereafter. To that end, I know the President's office has already received nominations for the advisory committee. For anyone looking for to nominate an individual to serve on the committee, that information should be sent to president@msu.edu. Again, president@msu.edu.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes. I appreciate the folks who came to give remarks, and I do want to say that many of your concerns, Mr. Hogan, were discussed with a robust vigor yesterday. We stopped the meeting and came back to this item. I thought the board honestly had a dialogue that was, I think it's exemplary of what should happen, right? You discuss, you agree, you disagree, you table it, you come back, revise and revisit and return back with a better policy. And so there are changes. I think what you read and you discussed earlier reflect an earlier iteration of this particular policy. So I want you to go back and let us know what you think. I do still agree with you that the student term should be 2 years, commiserate with the other folks on the committee. But that's the only thing that I have a problem with. And so I appreciate you coming consistently to this board meeting. And I will let you know your liaisons liaised and let us know exactly what you were thinking. I would encourage the folks who call themselves activists, and I heard that word today, to apply and have your voice on this committee. I think groupthink is dangerous. And so if there's a diversity of thought on that committee, it'll be a richer discussion and a more fruitful outcome. And we will be kept apprised of all the things that come out of that committee. And that was one of your concerns as well. So I want to thank the board for doing board things yesterday, like literally showing up as the board and thinking together through a very difficult conversation. I want to thank you for your leadership, Trustee Pierce. The most efficient meetings are yours. And so... Yeah, literally we got out early one time. Yeah, so it was, I appreciate your leadership, and I thank you all for listening to students and what their concerns are.
Thank you. Trustee Deno.
Yeah, mirroring a lot of what Trustee Vassar said, thanks to our student leaders for your ideas and suggestions on how to make this better. Trustee Bailo and I met, I think it was this week. Was it last week? I don't know. It was this week? Yeah, I don't remember what I did this week. But, yeah, so thanks. We met with students, and about one of the topics was this issue, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from our students, and thanks to your input, David, and others, that I think we made this a lot better. I think the trustees, all of us, had input, and we listened, and it was great. And it's not perfect. Nothing's perfect, right? And, I agree with Dr. Vassar. Look it over and let us know how we can make it even stronger. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Sandy. Thanks to all the trustees here for a really healthy process.
Let me just add to that if I can. So this will evolve. This is sort of the first of its kind. None of the other Big Ten universities even have something like this committee in place. And so I would just say that we will continue to listen to you. We want to get this going. We made some, I think, good changes from yesterday's conversation with faculty and students, and that doesn't mean it's in concrete. So we will continue to evolve as we experience this committee.
Yeah, I just also wanted to thank faculty because they also had some thoughts and those changes. Some changes were made based on your input, too. So while I definitely echo the other trustees' words on the students, I didn't want to forget our faculty who also helped make it better.
As he should, as the lead.
Are there any other comments regarding this? Okay, then we'll take the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes.
Okay, on behalf of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby authorizes the President to enter into a strategic brand management agreement with Spartan Ventures, a Michigan nonprofit corporation, on such terms and conditions as the President determines to be in the best interests of Michigan State University.
Is there support?
Support.
Discussion?
A few thoughts. This one deserves a little more explanation, I think. So what we're seeking to do here is kind of a really big deal. It's a watershed moment in our athletics history. It's something that's never been done before. It's something that other universities are starting to do, but once we do this, we will definitely be one of the first movers, if you will. You can look up what the University of Utah has done recently as one example. And so what we did at the last meeting was create what we call Spartan Ventures at the behest of our athletic director, who's been doing a great job and is supremely talented. We came up with this idea to create an entrepreneurial environment within the athletic department to go after future donations, to go after the future of whatever NIL looks like, and be a leader in this space. Part of that was that under Spartan Ventures, which has not been constituted yet, has no board yet, but it will, there will be something called Spartan Media Ventures. This is the different animal. This is the for-profit media company within the athletic department that's truly the groundbreaking thing. And so what we're being asked to vote on here today is the brand management agreement to authorize the president to connect these two, right, so that they can operate. And so, again, thank God for the generosity of our donors. You know, Greg Williams and Don Williams, if you're listening, it's truly amazing what you've done. You know, the $401 million of that, $100 million is a catalytic investment into this Spartan Media Ventures. The university will have a partner to do this together as the turbo fuel for what the athletic director hopes to achieve. This is something worth knowing about and talking about and studying it. Now, we're putting the cart before the horse here a little bit today because this kind of came to the board maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago, and it's unfolded very, very quickly, largely out of necessity, but be that as it may, what I think we need to do first is vote on the creation of Spartan Media Ventures with all of the nuance that goes into that. We're not doing that today. That's an item for discussion with the board, but because of that and a couple other things, I'm not supportive of this measure yet as it stands today. So we've explained what we're doing. Each of these organizations, Spartan Ventures and Spartan Media Ventures, is supported by a fairly complex set of documents, like you would when forming any business. The board has not yet seen those documents. I've been working with the general counsel to get a copy of those, but as of last night, we haven't been able to get them yet. So that's caused me to take a bit of a pause and say, hey, we need to make sure to honor our donors. We cross the T's and dot the I's and make sure all of this is done correctly because it's so different, because it's a watershed. And I will continue to work with the general counsel to get those documents and share them with any other board member that cares to see them. And, you know, they will take a couple days, several hours to review. But I would prefer we do not move forward yet with this resolution the way it is until we vote on the creation of Spartan Media Ventures and have a complete review of those organizational documents as our fiduciary duty and our general oversight would require. And again, it's a really big event. It's great. Let's just make sure we do this the right way. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay, I've got just a few comments as well. So we don't have all of the legal documents, but we have, with all due respect to Trustee Bailo, we have had several conversations in depth and have received quite a bit of information on the structure of both deals, this ventures that we're voting on today, as well as the media ventures. And I will tell you that the structure, it is innovative. It's real. It's really entrepreneurial. It is the first of its kind in higher education. It will not be the last. There will be followers. And I, as a finance person for 45 years, I will tell you that this, even though this is very unique, it rhymes a lot of the professional sports investment contracts. And so there were many, many smart people, a lot smarter than me, working on the legal documents, working on the accounting, working on the valuation, working on the financial analysis. All that work has been done. And I choose to put my trust in President Guskowitz, the administration, and certainly Jay Batt, our athletic director. I'm bringing what I believe will be game-changing in higher education. So I'm very supportive.
Trustee Deno.
I mirror a lot of the concerns that Trustee Bailo expressed, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Trustee Bailo. I love the creativity coming out of the president's office and coming out of our new athletic director. It's just been great. I'm really super excited about Spartan Ventures, and I really want to thank Greg and Don Williams for their generosity. That has nothing to do with my concern that I share with Trustee Bailo about a lack of seeing important documents, a continued lack of seeing important documents for the board, getting unredacted documents from our FOIA office. And so I agree, Sandy. I trust President Kevin Guskowitz. I trust AD Batt. But I think it's also our responsibility to trust but verify. And so that's why I'm voting no. Thanks.
Any other discussion?
I have one. So I want to say, and I think I said this at the last meeting. If I didn't, I apologize. I was remiss to give kudos to both President Guskowitz and AD Jay Batt. This is important. This, I know that I've talked a lot about athletics and as faculty what that has meant to me in the past, but as a trustee and with my fiduciary responsibility, I know the importance of athletics. And I've taken a lot of hits. Leadership matters. I've taken a lot of hits to try to figure out some innovative ways to think about athletics. I've taken a lot of hits around documents as well, and transparency. And so while there are two trustees who don't feel that they've gotten enough information to make a sound decision, because I've taken these hits around transparency, documents and athletics both, I'm going to support them, and also I'm going to vote no. I don't take anything away from Greg and Don Williams, and I certainly don't take anything away from the courage and the innovation that you have brought to this university. I appreciate you and AD Jay Batt.
Any further discussion?
Jay is available for comments if anyone has any questions for Jay.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
No.
Okay.
Motion's approved, 5-3.
Okay. Motion approved. All right. Motion passes. And
Let me just say that the committee received the fiscal year 26 first quarter operating forecast, the construction facilities update, and the annual debt update from Lisa Fraze and her great team. So that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. We'll now move on to our Committee on Academic Affairs, Trustee Renee Kanacki Jefferson.
Good morning, and thank you. On behalf of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the Board of Trustees hereby approves the rescission of BOT 703, the Student Athlete Conduct Policy.
Support.
And Secretary Fletcher is here if there are any questions.
Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, is there a discussion? Did I miss that? I apologize.
Okay.
Just one quick comment. This is another thing that is pretty good. Our athletic department is trying to get ahead of things and synergize our policies, and so is our board secretary. This is one I'm not 100% in favor of completely. I tried to get there yesterday, but I don't want it interpreted that I think anything is amiss. But our existing board policy, right, this student athlete conduct policy, has been on the books since 1996, and it says that if one of our current student athletes is convicted of a felony, that they're not eligible to participate unless there's an appeal process, and then they can be reinstated. I generally like having that as a marker, saying that playing sports is a privilege and not a right. We had a good talk and discussion about this yesterday. I will say that the people who authored the university policy made some red lines to that to make it more robust. It's not attached in the public-facing board documents yet, but I would ask Dr. Fletcher if this passes, which I guess it will, that those be attached or amended to that for visibility at the earliest possible, you know, so people can see what the change was. But other than that, I'm just a no on this because I would prefer to keep that board policy. I just wanted to explain my position.
Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? The motion passes.
The committee received a presentation on the upcoming Spartan Success Center project from the Undergraduate Education Leadership Team, and we also received a unionization update, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. We'll turn to Trustee Brianna Scott for the committee report on audit, risk, and compliance.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the Board of Trustees of MSU hereby approves the following: option agreement with Agra Dynamics Robotics, Inc.
Trustee Scott, that's I think we took care of that in the consent agenda.
Oh, that's right. It was part of the consent agenda. Okay. All right. The committee received a campus update on our safety from the chief, which was phenomenal yesterday. So shout out to him. Oh, Stefan's head was in the way. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that update. And we also review the annual security and fire safety report. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We'll turn to Chair Kelly Tebay for the Committee on Report on Student Life and Culture.
Thank you. The Student Life and Culture Committee received a presentation on the university's evolving approach to supporting student success through the Career Services Network and updates on the RSO civil rights compliance. Today we will hear from the Career Service Network. I'd like to introduce Dr. Karen Hansen and student Sadetu. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Sase.
Yep.
Yeah, come on. No. Sorry, I butchered your names there. Apologize. Oh, sorry. Karen currently serves as the director of the Career Services Network and brings more than 15 years of career services experience at MSU, along with 17 years of industry experience in human resources. Under her leadership, the Career Services Network supports students through career advising, internship preparation, employee engagement, and more than 50 annual career fairs across campus. Accompanying Karen today is Sadetu, a graduating senior in the advertising management program from Ann Arbor. Sadetu has held internships with the Detroit Lions and StockX, among other organizations, and is passionate about pursuing a career in the sports industry.
And graduates tomorrow.
Great, yes, and congratulations.
Thank you again for inviting us to be here today. I know you all have the information in your packets from our presentation a week ago Monday to the committee, but we just wanted to provide a few highlights from that. I'll take just about 3 minutes so that Satatu can steal the show on her journey here at MSU, because I know that's what everyone really wants to hear about. But I do want to kick off with, again, what President Guskowitz talked about in his opening remarks. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention again that we are within the top 10 for employability of our students. That's truly amazing, and we are honored to be a recipient of that, but we know that it is everyone on campus that comes together to ensure that our students are employable for jobs of today, but also of the future. That's not only a testament to the services that we provide, but the model that we have that is spread truly across campus. It is everyone involved in career services, and that's what we need to continue. And I'm so excited about Satatu. But also I want to make sure that I also mention the faculty. We have key partnerships with faculty, and they're doing an amazing job ensuring that the skills that they're teaching are for the jobs that are needed currently and, again, for the future. So thank you for that. In addition, so I want to talk a little bit about our model to ensure that you understand, because we do have a unique model here on campus that serves all of our students, so all 50,000 students, no matter their major. We have a centralized services, so we are Career Services Network, and we offer the systems and the support that are accessible to all students, but these are pieces that are truly embedded in each of the colleges. So we have our team members, and again, Satatu will talk about how she's utilized this. They are embedded in each of the programs across campus because we know that approaching a career within the College of Music, as an example, versus in Commerce Sci, or if you're an actuarial science major, is a little bit different. There are some key pieces that are the same, but we want to ensure that we have true experts in each of the colleges that can help connect students in the best way possible. So that is only possible, again, because of the relationships that we've built and the strong commitments that we have to making sure that students have what they need in order to be successful for truly a lifetime of career success. In terms of the services, all the things that you would think about, right? Everything from one-on-one advising, of course, mock interviews. I know that's something that you've taken advantage of quite a bit. More than 50 career fairs. We actually, I know in the packet I said 50 because 60 sounds a little overwhelming. Last year we had 60. We're aiming for 50 this year. 60 was a lot. There are a ton of opportunities for students to engage across campus. We even have career closets for students to borrow clothing, which has seen threefold use this past year. Our services continue to grow, and our students have far exceeded our expectations in terms of how they've really taken advantage of those this upcoming year. So we're excited about the future and all the investment that the Green and White Council has been doing in terms of what's next for us as we continue to elevate career services for all of our students. All right. It's also important to make sure that we talk a little bit about how committed we are to partnering with employers, all employers, because students are looking to work in large places, startups, all across the United States, the state of Michigan, and, of course, the country. This past year, we engaged more than 2,600 employers on campus to interact with our students, and we had over 216,000 jobs that were available just for our students here on campus. And these numbers continue to grow every year. So we're truly diving deep into the employer base and the opportunities for our students and ensuring that employers are aware of all of the skill sets that they have to offer from all of our different programs. Okay, so last, real quick, I want to talk a tiny bit about our student outcome data. We work hard to ensure that we have accurate and in-depth student outcome data for everyone to be able to dive into. It's on our website, so hopefully you've all been able to check that out. It is for public use, and we're proud of the fact that it's for public use and for public consumption because we know that prospective students can take a look at that along with their supporters, but also our current students can utilize that so that they can feel good in their career outcome opportunities. Speaking of career outcomes, I want to pass it on to Satatu so that you can share a little bit about your journey here at MSU and tell us about what's next for you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Karin, for having me. As mentioned, my name is Sadatu, and I'll just be talking to you guys about my career journey and how career service has been integrated into that. So I went to Western Michigan for a semester. Absolutely hated it. I then transferred to Washtenaw Community College, and I started working in the sports office there. And I got recommended by my supervisor to apply for the Detroit Lions internship program. And that really led me to the career services there on campus. It introduced me to Handshake. I really utilized the mock interviewing and the resume help so I can really get into that internship. Eventually, I did get the internship, and then I then transferred to MSU. I knew that I wanted to go to a bigger school. I wanted to have the college experience. But when I was transferring, I was really interested in the advertising management program. Like, I did my research. And I was also looking for more marketing and events experience since my internship with the Lions after transferring. And I just knew where to look for careers, which was through Handshake. And I got the opportunity to work with the Central's Career Services as a marketing and events intern on the employer relations team. And I really got a whole picture of how events start to finish, being able to see the date of an event. And I really got good on thinking on my feet, being able to problem solve when issues came up, and it really improved on my customer service skills. I was also able to build upon other skills such as project management, being able to use Trello, data analysis. I was able to analyze social media data to increase engagement. I was able to present to like Karin and the CSN leadership team. After that internship, I had the opportunity to work at Peacock as a sports platform operations intern, and I was able to continue to build on my project management skills in that role. I've been able to have so many opportunities since because of career services. It has helped me be more confident in my interview process and being able to see that there's so many job opportunities out there. I've met with so many advisors in CommArtSci and also Central CSN. With my interview prep, one advisor has helped me with a lot of potential interview questions, which is still useful for me now because I'm still interviewing for full-time roles. I've been able to go to industry focus events, so I learned about NBCU Academy from the CommArtSci student newsletter. I was also able to meet with someone from Microsoft in person at Spark Talks, which I was able to learn more about the company in general. And another thing was really, really helpful was I was able to go to the Women in Sports Conference in Boston, and because of funding, I was able to get that from CommArt's career office. And from that conference, I actually got a really nice blazer from the career closet, so really utilize that for sure. But it's just nice to have career services connected to your college, and it's just a central one, so having CommArt's, there's experts in that field where I'm interested in, and also Central CSN with general information that could be applied to any career path. That's all. Thank you.
Can I make a comment? First, I want to thank Chair Tevay for indulging the desire to bring students forward during your two terms, I think, as chair, maybe it's been three, as chair of student life and culture. And then, Sadatu, you were amazing when we met with you. I think several of us were on the Zoom meeting with you and got to hear your career path. Even though you may not have liked Western, they certainly educated you well enough to get you on this trajectory that you've been on, which I think is just very impressive. But I think what impresses me more is the initiative and drive that you have. I love the fact that we have career services and people like Karin that can help our students to, you know, maneuver through that system. But you also have to have that drive, right, and the desire to seek these things out. And it's just so impressive. And I told you, you know, when we were on the Zoom call, I never would have even thought of, you know, applying to the NFL at your age, right? And so I'm just really impressed with you. I did not know that the Career Services Office also provided the opportunity to go to things like the Women in Athletics, and I think you said it was in Boston that you recently went to. So that's something even I didn't know until today, that you can also get the supports to, you know, go outside of MSU to get education or to network and in the mentorship. So kudos to you, but I'm just so grateful that you weren't too bashful to come forward and share this, because I think it's important for other students that are in the room or those that may be watching by Zoom to see, you know, I can do these things too. There are these resources on this campus that can help our students So I just wish you the best of luck. I know you are going to probably be someone we're going to see in high places come 10 years from now. Don't forget us little people and where you got your start. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Wait. Where did you go to high school?
I went to Huron High School in Ann Arbor.
Ah, and the Broncos are your first choice.
Yeah, the Broncos were my first choice, unfortunately.
But I want to thank you just for sharing your story. It is mm-hmm. remarkable. And Karen, thank you for your services. I feel like I need to sign up with both of you. Like I need careers. Like really, you should take it on the road, and you can make a lot of money. Just like coaching people into this, because all these opportunities you took advantage of, I don't think people even know about. And so. Yeah, this is really important work, and thank you for sharing the results and what you do behind the scenes.
Thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow, Sadatu.
I just want to echo what's already been said, and Sadatu, congrats to you. We're going to celebrate you tomorrow. Never underestimate where those beginnings might take you, because Roger Goodell is a good friend of mine, the commissioner of the NFL, and he has a really fun story about how he got started in working in the lowest of levels at the NFL headquarters. And so the future is bright for you. We'll celebrate you tomorrow. And Karen, thank you, the work that you do around experiential education. We talk about that so often, and helping to set our students off on this journey. We really appreciate all your work. So thank you.
This concludes my report. Now we're going to move to the liaison reports. I think we're going to start with COGS. Priyanka?
Yeah. Good morning, President Gaskowicz, Chair Tibe, members of the board, members of the MSC community. I'm Priyanka Kothari, a PhD student and president of Council of Graduate Students at Michigan State. COGS held 4 full council meetings for the fall semester. That saw robust participation of our constituents, and I'm happy to report that our graduate and professional students have had a successful fall 2025. Since my last remarks, we have continued to host our social events across campus in East Lansing. We have hosted at least 1 event per week, but often 2 events, and were generally quite popular with the student community. Some of the highlights include our coffee and connections, a grad night at the Abraham Planetarium, and a really cool laser cutting workshop at MSU Library Hollander Makerspace. We closed fall semester's event calendar with a Craft and Create event in our very own Chittenden Hall, the grad school building. With our social events, we aim to connect graduate and professional students to the wider campus community. It is also an opportunity to increase the visibility of COGS among our wider constituents. We have a great spring semester brewing, and we would love to be invited to your MSU space, so please reach out if you have any cool ideas or spaces that you'd like to share. We are also looking forward to our 18th annual Graduate Academic Conference on Saturday, February 21st, 2026 at the Union. We are inviting abstracts from now until January 16th for poster presentations, oral presentations, and 3-minute theses. The winner of our 3-minute thesis competition will represent Michigan State at the national level conference competition later in the spring. Students may have multiple presentations as long as they are in different formats, but they may not have more than one entry into a particular format. Please help us spread the word. Pro tip, many of us have just submitted our final papers. You can just use that, turn it into an abstract, and submit it. GSC is a great way to practice presenting work at academic spaces in a low-stakes environment. It doesn't get easier than that. We are also looking for sponsorships for GSC, and someone from COGS will reach out to you if we haven't already. Conferences are expensive, everybody knows that, so we welcome any and all support that the community can provide us. Furthermore, acknowledging that many graduate and professional students at MSU face financial insecurities, COGS makes different types of funding available on a regular basis to our students. For the fall semester, we supported 12 graduate student organizations, totaling about $9,000, 31 students to offset their cost of traveling to various academic conferences, totaling $17,500, and 23 students in various professional development opportunities, totaling $11,000. Furthermore, recognizing that many of our constituents face food insecurities, and in response to the pause in SNAP benefits in November, COGS made two donations to the MSU Food Bank and Basic Needs Program, totaling $13,000. Council of Graduate Students recognizes that it is important to have a voice at policy developments at the national level. Therefore, in our November meeting, the Cox School Council voted to join the Grad Research and Development Coalition, also known as the Grad Coalition Policy Platform. The Grad Coalition exists to support the initiatives and efforts of the House Graduate Research and Development Caucus. While ultimate legislative jurisdiction remains with the caucus, the Grad Coalition supports their efforts and ensures that issues affecting graduate students remain a focus for the elected officials. Michigan State's Council of Graduate Students is now a part of the platform. We believe that there is so much value in collaborating with peers across the country and standing in solidarity. However, we also recognize that the environment we work in is very dynamic and sometimes evolves in unpredictable ways. Therefore, we have decided that Cox School Council will be required to reform its membership every year. This gives the future full councils an opportunity to evaluate their role in the platform, its relevance, and act based on the evolving interest of our graduate student community. Finally, I want to address the ongoing discussion at MSU regarding the time to degree for our graduate and professional student community. Time to degree refers to the time between when a student starts their program of study and when they ultimately graduate. Recent budget cuts have prompted active conversations about the same, how it compares to other universities, what's expected, what's reasonable, and how our program should evolve. Cox has been reaching out to various departments on campus to understand the time to degree, what are the trends and challenges. While most units take on average 5 years, it is also specific to different departments on campus. For a PhD student, the time to degree is often based on the amount of funding available. Often graduate students need to look for funding opportunities outside of MSU to support themselves, which also includes getting a job. This makes the coursework and research much more challenging and influences the time to degree completion. I want to acknowledge here that MSU has various avenues that support graduate students, but unfortunately they are often band-aids and do not really address the wound that lies. The most important way to address the issue is to ensure that funding packages to all graduate students are competitive and which also includes summer funding opportunities. More fellowship opportunities for master's students will also support them in graduating as planned successfully. A second aspect that affects the time to degree are the various milestones that we need to complete in the course of the program. How the individual programs are structured and the amount of support available determines how successful the student will be. Many students find comprehensive exams a particularly challenging time, and we should look at ways to increase the mentorship support available for graduate students in order to successfully complete the program. PhD is a relay race, not a marathon, and the chances of our success increase with increased support and training at all stages. Finally, conducting research is an integral part of graduate education and also the most difficult at times. IRB is crucial for all research projects, but navigating it is often complex, and we advocate simplifying and streamlining that process. Furthermore, through the life of a dissertation, students report logistical challenges that can affect data collection. At times, when it is at off-campus sites or outside the U.S., travel and visa complications have led to delays and necessitated more time to degree than is stipulated. So any future direction should account for these differences and work with the different colleges on the best way forward. COGS looks forward to close collaboration with various stakeholders and continue to be, as our president likes to say, Michigan State University. Go green.
Catherine?
Okay. Good morning. My name is Catherine Harding, and I'm the ASMSU and student body president. I'd first like to share some updates from ASMSU this semester. We had a very successful semester for ASMSU despite many challenges. Much of the direct benefit that students receive from ASMSU is the services that we provide, so I'm going to share some data and highlights from those. Our engagement office is the hub for most of our services. There we printed 8,565 pages for 710 students, provided 8 short-term loans, and also loaned out 279 calculators and 216 iClickers. Our student legal services is very critical, and since mid-August, they have assisted with over 625 criminal and civil matters for students and put in over 2,000 hours for this important work. Our lawyers also presented and tabled at 14 events throughout the semester to increase awareness. Our student rights advocates, who assist peers through university conduct processes, worked with 33 total students, six graduate, and 27 undergraduate. Safe Ride, which is our late-night Uber-style service and one of our most popular services, provided 3,880 rides to 5,147 students. 39% of the students were first-time users, and 61% were returning. The average wait time for a ride was 21 minutes and 11 seconds, and there was strong daily demand with steady weekday usage but clear peaks on the weekends. Our students reported a 96% satisfaction rate, and this semester we provided a record number of rides. 10% of our total budget goes directly to funding registered student organizations. Our student allocations board funded 43 RSOs in a total amount of $136,030.12. I would be remiss not to mention the fact that we were not able to fund activity departments this semester, which have historically been our course and CAMS groups, due to federal compliance directives that resulted in the freezing of ASMSU funds. We have since established a new process that fits both the compliance directives and our history of support for marginalized student groups, along with paving the way for even more groups to gain activity department classification, and we will resume funding for activity departments next semester. I remain disappointed by the way that communication and compliance directives were handled, as holding student funding hostage and threatening the status of student organizations is unfair. It further sets a dangerous precedent for the relationship between the university and autonomous student organizations. However, myself and the rest of ASMSU remain committed to supporting all students and ensuring financial support for RSOs. At our last General Assembly meeting, we had 5 CORES and CAMS groups reapproved as activity departments, and we will continue to provide opportunities for this. We will also continue to do the best we can for our constituents, ensuring that financial support going forward. Also this past semester, we began our internship program, and we've had multiple interns start working with our staff departments with plans for more to join the team. This is a great way for freshmen and sophomores to get involved and directly shadow one of our directors, vice presidents, or chief officers. The ASMSU Director of Health, Safety, Wellness, and Sustainability, Alex Beck, held Mental Health Awareness Week in collaboration with other student organizations across campus and University Health and Wellbeing. The Red Cedar Log, which is our yearbook, has been busy finishing their first 2 deadlines and now have a total of 180 pages completed. Yearbooks will be available at the end of spring semester for free for any student. The ASMSU Governmental Affairs Department hosted the East Lansing City Council Candidate Panel last month to give students the opportunity to learn about the stances of City Council candidates and to ask about the relationship between the student and city experience. We also had Lansing Advocacy Day in October, and it was the first of its kind for the organization, where 11 members of ASMSU spent the day at the state capitol to connect with several representatives and senators on both sides of the aisle to discuss academic affairs and workforce development, along with health, safety, wellness, and sustainability. Our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Department has been diligently working to help student leaders navigate the current political climate and how it is affecting student groups, along with researching Know Your Rights campaigns across the Big Ten to bring similar initiatives back to Michigan State. They've also helped groups on campus expand their cultural understanding through the facilitation of implicit bias trainings. The ASMSU Academic Affairs Department is tasked with appointing undergraduate students to 11 university councils and committees. Academic Affairs recruited and retained 34 academic governance representatives for fall semester, which is the most seats we've filled in the past few years. They worked hard to celebrate first-generation students as well during First Gen Appreciation Week in November in collaboration with the First Gen Student Success Center. As president, I began the ASMSU Open Forum Initiative, which is an opportunity for any student to engage with the Office of the President and other members of ASMSU. Our first open forum did not have a specific topic, but the second was focused on mental health resources and CAPS. This is a good step in the right direction for increasing engagement with the student body, and I plan to make it a recurring series, along with exploring more opportunities to connect with students. As part of my normal duties, I meet regularly with many administrators and university leaders to bring forth student perspectives and concerns. Maintaining these relationships for ASMSU to ensure that student concerns are seen and heard is absolutely critical to the function of our organization, along with ensuring that decision makers are held accountable to and are responsive to the needs of students. Not all Big Ten student governments have the same direct and consistent access to administrators, so I genuinely want to thank each and every person that has taken the time to meet with myself or other student leaders. I will continue to build on these relationships and bring our advocacy to the forefront of conversations. A few weeks ago, ASMSU sent a delegation of 8 members to that school down the road for the Association of Big Ten Students Fall Conference. The Association of Big Ten Students, or ABTS, is the collective of Big Ten student governments, and our mission is to strengthen intercampus collaboration, promote innovation and exchange of best practices across campus, build the next generation of student leaders through mentorship and skill-based learning, and represent the collective interests of Big Ten students to local, state, and federal policymakers. At our fall conference, we had very robust discussions on issues that are important to our campuses, such as diversity, equity, and inclusion, academic freedom and free speech, and student basic needs. We also ratified a new charter for our organization that aims to strengthen our legitimacy and increase our voice as the representatives of all Big Ten students. We will be going to Washington, D.C. in March to advocate for students' legislators, and I look forward to sharing more updates. This semester, our General Assembly will have considered 42 pieces of legislation aimed to allocate financial resources to various places across campus, advocate for important student issues, and amend our governing documents and internal processes to better reflect the current state of our organization. Bill 6242 called for the release of a statement of unwavering support for the Michigan State University College of Education and its foundational course, TE 101, Social Foundations of Justice and Equity in Education. Our college education has been recognized as a national leader in preparing thoughtful, skilled, and justice-driven educators. Its programs consistently rank among the best in the country, which reflects a longstanding commitment to advancing knowledge and addressing social inequities within public education. With this, ASMSU stands with the College of Education and is committed to defending the rights of students and educators to teach, learn, and pursue knowledge without intimidation or censorship, along with affirming our support for the principles of equity, justice, and academic freedom that define Michigan State University. I appreciate recent conversations with leadership around shared principles of academic freedom and a commitment to and expectations for shared governance. And ASMSU urges administrators and trustees alike to continue to stand with our College of Education and the importance of academic freedom. Our Assembly passed Bill 6234 to call on the Board of Trustees to stop replacing public board meetings with private stakeholder forums. This vote is in response to the board replacing the traditional meeting at the beginning of the academic year with a closed-door stakeholder engagement session on September 4th, which included about 50 invited representatives from various departments and spaces on campus with predetermined discussion topics. Many students viewed this as an avenue for limiting transparency at a time when we are in need of more of it. ASMSU calls on the Board of Trustees to make the upcoming stakeholder meetings more transparent and accessible to the broader student body to promote open dialogue, cultivate meaningful student engagement, and increase accountability. I appreciate recent conversations around this, and I hope that they continue around how we can make stakeholder forums more responsive to students and more open for students beyond just us liaisons and other student leaders, along with advocating for open and inclusive conversations between student and university leadership. The General Assembly also recently passed a bill to allocate $5,000 to the Spartan Shelf and support student basic needs. I want to call attention to the fact that students need their basic needs supported in order to achieve academic success, and I'm proud of the way that ASMSU has stepped up to help our peers. Earlier this semester, we also passed a bill in support of CAPS and mental health resources. And I also wanted to mention that and just reaffirm ASMSU's support for mental health resources that are accessible to students, that are catered to students, and are responsive to our needs and academic success. Finally, I reaffirm ASMSU's position on divestment as I take this moment to comment on the newly approved ACRI. I appreciate the board's prompt responsiveness to the requests of students to add another student seat to the committee and to consider ASMSU and COG's input for nominations. However, I still echo many of the concerns of fellow students. Avenues for students to bring forward concerns regarding our investments are important, but bureaucratic roadblocks that distance the administration are the last thing we need. The ACRI must communicate recommendations, requests, and discussions in an accessible way for students to ensure transparency, and university leadership must be responsive to the recommendations made. I will continue to advocate for transparency with the process and for accountability. I look forward to continuing the important work of ASMSU next semester, and next semester will truly be critical for our organization as we will be considering both a tax increase and referendum in our spring elections to continue the work that we are able to do and to continue having a budget to support students and provide services as well. Thank you for the time. I know this was a hefty report with all of my updates, but thank you all, and I hope everybody has a great winter break.
Thank you. Who's next? Lauren?
Hello, thank you. I hope the board is doing well. My name is Lauren Pelon, and I'm the president of the Residence Halls Association. After our last update, the Residence Halls Association has been very busy with a variety of events and initiatives. In early November, we attended the Great Lakes Region of College and University Residence Halls, or as what we like to call it, GLCUR. We were able to take 12 RHA leadership and constituent leadership members to the conference at Indiana University's Bloomington campus. This was RHA's largest delegation in recent history. RHA also submitted bids for 5 awards and were named finalists for School of the Year, RHA Advisor of the Year, RHA President of the Year, and the Hallenbeck Service Award. We nominated Assistant Vice President Ray Gasser, who ultimately received this award for Hallenbeck Service Award. This honor recognizes continuous and outstanding dedication to residential student leaders groups by nominating a full-time housing or student affairs professional. And throughout this conference, our delegates had an amazing time and learned valuable information to take back to their respective organizations. Although there were some challenges this semester involving RSOs, RHA was able to financially support them by giving out over $35,000 in our committee on budget. Furthermore, our leadership team and constituent groups have had the opportunity to sponsor RSOs within their respective budgets and had sponsored over $100,000. We hope to continue to support RSOs that align with RHA's mission next semester and support them in other ways. Building off of that, this semester we were able to expand our rental services by engaging the different items that students would like to rent. In turn of that, we now include a PS5 and new games along with our pre-established rentals. We hope to continue to promote this service as well in the spring. As RHA has had a great semester full of wonderful successes, we look forward to continuing to support the on-campus student population in many ways and finding other ways to do so over break to be fully prepared for the spring semester. Out of our 28 residence halls student organizations, we only have 5 inactive groups this year. Our goal moving forward is to get the remaining 5 active in the spring, and this has also been one of the lowest amounts that I've seen in recent years. Before I conclude my report, I do want to acknowledge the discussions about the establishment of the Advisory Committee for Responsible Investing. Although we value the board's engagement in around student representation, we have a forward-looking concern that increased bureaucratic layers may distance the board from the concerns and recommendations raised by this committee. I hope that we can still continue to work on making this committee the best for all students and faculty. I hope that everyone has a nice winter break, and thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Hello, and good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah Feierberg. I'm the at-large liaison to the board, so thanks for having me. I'd like to begin my report by discussing the new rec center. We've continued receiving the plans, and student feedback has been really positive so far. Students have highlighted how the center's design supports both physical and mental wellness, pairing active fitness spaces with areas intentionally created for rest, wellness, and stress relief, which is so unique to our campus. The natural lighting provided by the ETFE roof and the wide range of features, including the 30-meter pool, the rock wall, spacious fitness area, and the hammock grove under the main stairway, have all been well received. All the features except the pool will be open to students next semester, and we're very excited. Transportation access is also a priority, and routes for buses are being evaluated currently to ensure the facility is easy for students to reach, as our campus is massive. Next, I want to highlight our conversation around student caregivers. We've had representatives from Student Parent Services join us, and they continue to play a crucial role in supporting student parents and families. We know that about 3 to 5% of our students have dependents, And though the true numbers may be higher because the data is difficult to capture, what we do know is that student parents and other caregivers receive, when they receive the right support, they graduate at equal or higher rates and often have higher GPAs. So we know their services are actually working and they're worth all the things that MSU has been doing. MSU offers several services to support these students, including one-on-one consultations, an in-home support program that offers very affordable rate care, a diaper and adult supply bank that is open to employees as well, and income guidelines follow federal standards and Title IX protections for pregnant or parenting students, which are retroactive, which are important for ensuring fair treatment. These services are based in the Union on the third floor, room 332. Looking ahead for our next UCSA meeting, which is scheduled for January 16th, we will be hosting speakers from the Career Services, and our planned discussions will focus on employment trends for international students, the challenges they face, and how MSU Career Services is working to support them. Lastly, I'd like to mention the Investment Policy Advisory Council. Under the current structure, students are placed only within an advisory committee, one that has no guarantee its recommendations will ever reach the board. As students, we are not asking for a policy that simply bandages a problem. We are asking for a well-designed, thoughtful plan that allows us to collaborate meaningfully and help drive real change on our campus. Thank you to the board for considering our suggestions yesterday, especially the addition of student seats and the decision to allow COGS and ASMSU to recommend some seats. This is a really meaningful step forward, and at the same time, we believe that there's still room for improvement, and we really want to make sure that this committee is effective and it's helping support student voices to ensure that the committee can genuinely be effective and that student voices are not just heard but empowered. So that's something that we, the liaisons, are going to continue to work and collaborate with you guys just to help really support student voices. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, everyone, and have a great winter break. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I hope you all get some rest over break. And now we'll turn it to the faculty liaisons.
Good morning. I'm Angela Wilson, chair of the Faculty Senate. So it really is amazing that it's already the end of the semester. I feel those sentiments as well. I know that the faculty, just like the students and staff, have worked hard and are ready for a well-deserved break. Many will be taking time to refresh. Many of the faculty will be taking time to get more fully engaged in their research, to head to conferences, and all of us, hopefully, to take a break with family and friends. And we do wish everyone the very best for the break. We also congratulate the many students who are graduating this semester and those who are celebrating today and tomorrow, and their many mentors as well. The commencement organizers are also thanked for bringing together great speakers at each of these ceremonies. I've been in another university. That's not always the case, I can tell you. I think I can speak for those who sit through all of the ceremonies that these enjoyable speakers are very tremendously appreciated. We also acknowledge the Bowman Tower lighting. It is really exciting and much appreciated by faculty, staff, and students, and we've gotten a lot of feedback on that. In November, Vice Chair John Arne Fleschner, Academic Secretary Teresa Quiller, and I went to the Big Ten Academic Alliance Senate Leadership Conference. It was informational to gather with our Big Ten peers and discuss present challenges, opportunities, as well as structures of faculty governance, including those with and without a union. That was very informative. And I led a session on influencing academic planning and budgeting. And through this, I think all of us learned, I learned a lot, much about the various structures for this, providing potentially improved conduits for communication. And we will be discussing this in the future and probably coming with a proposal as well. We thank the Board of Trustees for our discussion yesterday. We talked about a number of items with the board. One was the Advisory Committee on Investment as well. And we very much appreciate that a change that incorporates nominations from the faculty, COGS, and ASMSU will be a part of this committee or part of these decision makers. I did hear the concerns mentioned earlier today by our open session, open comments. And I can tell you that for a national organization, I actually chair such an investment committee. The committee that I'm on and lead actually does take into consideration various investment strategies. So many of the ones that I know that have been concerned, and these are all things that are considered by such a committee for the overall good, very broadly defined, of the organization. And so, you know, with this organization, we make recommendations to the board, and we do not make the decisions alone. And so I do think that this is a really terrific step. And as trustees Pierce noted, this is a step. And so there may be some revisions as this continues, but I appreciate the board approving this. We also talked with the board about ongoing concerns about the MSU General Fund budget, in essence, the funds for operations. We are not only a partway through our budget trims, and we are seeing issues of concerns. One of these is the moratorium, pauses on graduate programs, and downsizing of programs. There are many ramifications on this impacting the work of our faculty as well as our students. The beautiful performance that we saw earlier today demonstrates the amazing work of our faculty, the synergy of our graduate students, and what can be accomplished when we are able to support and bring in terrific world-class graduate students and support them. Synergies like this occur throughout MSU, though perhaps not as beautifully and clearly displayed as shown today. They occur in the College of Business, in our College of Engineering, and in the College of Arts and Letters, and in the College of Natural Sciences, as well as others, even in the Theoretical and Computational Chemistry Laboratory like my own. Though not glamorous, we do encourage support, whether it is state support or donor support or some other mechanism to address these budget trims. We talked with the board yesterday about how some of these changes, not just our changes now, but they're changes that impact the university 4, 5, 6 years down the line. When programs are shut down, and some of us have seen this in some of the California programs, it's hard to get those students back again. And so we need to really think about these changes very significantly in terms of when we are taking these moratoriums and all of that. It may be short-term solutions, but it really is long-term challenges and problems. Though, also, another thing I want to mention is though MSU is a terrific place, another issue is that faculty do migrate towards resources, not out of a lack of loyalty, but rather out of necessity. Imagine that wonderful group that we had earlier today, if it was trimmed by half or on a moratorium, was placed on it in its entirety, we would be missing out. The world would be missing out, I think. And this necessary support of students, which supports the faculty in their teaching, research, and creative activities, is really important. We have a lot of opportunities for fundraising. Perhaps I'm going to throw a few people under the bus, the Mike Ballow College of Arts and Letters, the Brianna Scott Research Laboratory, the Emily Gurrant Quantum Computing Science and Engineering Center, and I would love to support Emily, the Doug Gage Drug Discovery Center, or perhaps the John Arne Fleischner Mass Spectrometer. Yeah. So there are needs, an incredible number of opportunities that we would love to see, we would love to see supporting the research endeavor, maybe in some different ways than we have really done. I know we love the endowed professorships. I know I've been a beneficiary of that. You know, we love supporting our students with scholarships, but I do think that there's a lot of exciting opportunities to help things grow, particularly when we have challenging times in terms of federal support. We've seen NIH support go down. We've seen a number of things along these lines, and we do not know what the next few years are going to hold. So I hope that some of these things will be taken into consideration. We very much appreciate the Williams and their generosity towards MSU and the capital campaign, and they are not even MSU alumni. Talk about an amazing examples. It really is remarkable. We were also happy to hear that 2/3 of the overall donor dollars for the campaign are coming in for academics, so we're excited about that. And we thank Kim Tobin and her team, the president, and others who have worked so hard on these efforts. We also brought the Faculty Senate's One Team, One Health resolution to the board, essentially encouraging ongoing communication in the process, and had a positive discussion about the process, which is now with the president, and we look forward to hearing more in 2026. Another topic we discussed with the board is what seems like a significantly reduced ability for some of our committees, particularly the University Committee on Faculty Affairs, the University Committee on Faculty Tenure, and the Faculty Healthcare Council, to do their jobs with the certification and buildup of the Union of Tenure Faculty. We appreciate the union and their startup of this, but these committees were actually asked to stop a substantial number of their activities. The union, however, encouraged continued activities. There is still, however, a stoppage. We noted that the bylaws in terms of the committee responsibilities have not changed at this stage, and so we did have a positive discussion yesterday, and we will be working with the provost office to identify a pathway forward, and I'm sure that will also entail conversations with general counsel. We look forward to this, and we are also in discussions with other faculty senates at universities who have been through unionization and look forward to addressing this further. Having these committees at a standstill for as long as it often takes to negotiate a union contract, which is, I understand, typically multiple years, is just not satisfactory for the faculty, and it's not good for the faculty. It's not good for the university either. We need to have that faculty voice. Finally, I want to thank the board for the opportunities to meet with you and have discussions. Many universities do not enable this, and the shared governance structure of MSU is very much appreciated. And I also thank you for all the many tough decisions that you make, often behind the scenes, and all the time that you take as volunteers for MSU. I wish you all a wonderful December, and I thank you.
Thank you. Now for the chair's report. First off, Doug, congratulations on your retirement. You will be greatly missed. I've always appreciated our conversations and appreciate the amazing researchers that you've introduced us to over the years. So thank you for everything that you've done. I also want to congratulate Dean Chambers on his appointment. And then also I see Dean Forger out there, and I just want to thank you for your hospitality yesterday, allowing us to do our work session in your building and bringing the Kiva saxophone quartet to us for a performance. That was truly amazing. So thank you so much for that. I'm looking forward to our commencement activities over the weekend. Congratulations to all of our graduates, and congratulations to AD Bat on the successful launch for the Sparta campaign. Last week's launch on the campaign and the recognition of Dawn and Greg Williams' gift, extremely generous gift, has generated a lot of excitement across our Spartan Nation. I also wanted to make sure to recognize that one of our own board members is receiving the Lansing Area Athena Award next week. Trustee Rebecca Bahar Cook, it's a wonderful recognition and much deserved for all that you do in the Lansing community, and thank you. Congratulations. To continue the theme of recognition, I also would like to congratulate the 86 graduates from the fall semester who have achieved a perfect GPA during their academic journey here at MSU. These students are recipients of the Board of Trustees Award, which recognizes and honors their achievement of the highest scholastic average one can receive. The students' names are on the screen. Let's give a big Spartan round of applause to these students. Thank you. As I conclude my term as board chair, I would like to thank my fellow trustees for their collaboration and passion in supporting and championing MSU. I would also like to thank my family who are watching the live stream and my husband, Adam, who is here today for supporting me through this particularly busy year. Article 4 of the board bylaws stipulates that the position of chair and vice chair will rotate annually based on seniority. This process allows all trustees to serve in a leadership role during their tenure. In accordance with Article 4, I would like to announce the chair and vice chair for 2026. As of January 1st, 2026, Trustee Brianna Scott will be the chair of the board with Trustee Renee Konecki Jefferson as vice chair. I wish them well in their positions, and I know they will provide a steady leadership in the year ahead. Lastly, I would like to thank all the staff that make these meetings run smoothly. A special thanks to our IT team, our law enforcement, our comms team, administrative staff, the president's office staff, and specifically Heather, Stefan, and Jackie for all the work that you do. Thank you so much.
At this time, I'm going to actually invite a special guest to the podium, Adam Zemke. Kelly's husband, that she just referenced, for a few words. Thanks, Adam, for joining.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not certain that Madam Chair would grant me the same allowance. President Gutskowitz, Mr. Secretary, Madam Chair, trustees of the board, and members of the audience, thank you for allowing me to cut in on your meeting today, and happy holidays to all who are celebrating. As a proud MSU alum, I want to congratulate all of you on your work over the past several years, and especially over the past 12 months as a unified team. It certainly has not always been easy, but it is amazing to see the positive change made from then until now. Madam Chair, as your partner and husband, I've had a front row seat to this progress, and though important, I know how much hard work you've had to put in to making it successful, and I'm very proud of you. So today, on behalf of our family, I want to publicly thank you and make you blush a bit for all of your hard work and sacrifice and provide you with a showing of gratitude. Mr. Secretary, you would not. We will be very happy to spend more time with you as you transition from your time as chair, and wish incoming Chair Scott the best of luck. Go Green.
That was beautiful. I mean, and this was all planned. Stefan was on cue. He's like, okay, here's my bar. And then we were taking Kelly out the way she came in tears with Kleenex. Thank you. So I guess I'll start with that. Kelly, it has been an honor to serve as your vice chair. I have to just say from a personal experience traversing the state, I think we went to probably 70 counties together as we campaigned back at that time, and then coming on the board, that I have just seen such a growth in you. You have grown remarkably. And I know you were a little nervous coming into the chair position, but I think you knocked it out of the ballpark. I think your leadership was steady. It was fair. You did it with, I believe, great integrity. And you allowed us to unify, and I think that was very important. And I had no idea Kevin calls you as much. I don't know, Kevin, if I'll be available every single day to talk to you. I can't? Okay. But so thank you for your leadership. It's been an honor to serve as your vice chair. I'm proud to learn that MSU earned a top 50 national ranking for environmental responsibility and sustainability in the Princeton Review's Guide to Green Colleges. We were one of only two universities to earn a top 50 spot. This recognizes MSU's campus-wide commitment to environmental responsibility, sustainability education, research innovation, and also represents a priority in our 2030 strategic plan. I share the president's congratulations to our new graduates and everyone celebrating commencement this weekend. I was especially excited to hear that Dr. Lee June is one of the commencement speakers. We have been blessed to have Lee June for over 50 years at MSU. His leadership, activism, and influence are an example to all of us, and his amazing wisdom. In November, the university launched a free virtual suicide prevention training program, giving students, faculty, and staff the skills to recognize the warning signs and connect others to help. This is called the QPR training. I hope many of you are familiarizing yourselves with it, as it can really save a life. It is a major step in advancing a campus culture of care amid ongoing mental health challenges. I want to thank Dr. Alexis Travis, who isn't here today, along with University Health and Wellness, for their continued commitment to campus health. I also want to congratulate Kaylin Casper on being a finalist for the Rhodes Scholarship. Kaylin is a sociology and humanities pre-law major with minors in American Indian and Indigenous studies and LGBTQ studies as well. By being a finalist, it places her among the top candidates in the United States and is recognizing her academic excellence and leadership. It's an amazing honor, and we are proud of her and her accomplishments here at MSU. I'd also like to add my congratulations to Trustee Bahar Cook,
who I also think is in for a whole bunch of surprises. I heard from her husband next week when she goes up to get her Athena Award, so be ready. I mean, if you thought Adam brought it, why, Todd is bringing it next week. But that is such an honor, and I wish I could be there. I know it is hard. It's a lot of competition to get those Athena Leadership Awards. So congratulations to you, and thank you for your service in the Lansing community. I'd also want to talk about a little bit of what I've been doing the last month. I had an opportunity to be at the annual Farm Bureau, what do they call it, like the Farm Bureau meeting, annual meeting in Grand Rapids. And I'm sorry, I don't know if Ben is watching, but it was Ben LaCrosse's first annual meeting, and man, did he knock it out of the ballpark. I was so proud of him, his continued leadership, and he, I think, is the youngest president of Farm Bureau Michigan. So that's, in and of itself, an amazing journey that he's had. And so I just want to thank him for all of the kudos. They played the Spartan song. I thank him for his leadership. He's also working with the board potentially for our retreat next year. And so anyway, I just wanted to give kudos to them. It is a member-driven event that really focuses on Michigan's agriculture community, and it was great to engage with all of the fellow Spartans there. I also had an opportunity to visit a farm, Bennett Farms, that is in Fremont, Michigan. The farm is owned by Aaron Bennett, a really avid Spartan supporter, and he's also a sixth-generation farmer. And he's also, among other things, really emphasizing the breeding of championship racehorses. One of his racehorses has earned close to $1 million this year that he bred. And he's right here in Michigan, in West Michigan. And I got to see some of the horses there, got to watch them get their teeth cleaned and all the other things that they do to get them prepared. And so it was a really unique opportunity, and I obviously love agriculture, so I'm grateful to the Bennett family for hosting me. And I want to wish everyone a very happy and healthy holiday season. And I also wanted to just, I don't mean to embarrass her, but I am always on Instagram. And let me go back here to, here it was. This was something I actually saw that I wanted to highlight. I followed the College of Natural Sciences page, and they said, we want to join Michigan State in congratulating Angela Wilson, who is a John A. Hanna Distinguished Professor of Chemistry in the MSU College of Natural Science, also serving as an Associate Dean and Director of MSUQ, which I'm not sure what that is. But she is a prominent computational chemist and is a former American Chemical Society president, which I gotta imagine that's hard to get that role, and really distinguishes her amongst many chemists in this country. She is also internationally recognized for her research in clean energy and a catalyst and quantum methods, all of which I know nothing about. But it's just another example, as we had earlier today with Professor Belinsky, of the just amazing faculty that we have here at MSU. And when I saw Angela pop up on my Instagram and Facebook, I was like, oh my gosh, I know her. And I was just so proud. And so just wanted to recognize you. You all may not know who's sitting in that seat, but this woman is an amazing and very distinguished individual. So wanted to congratulate her on that. And then I just want to thank Kevin for his ever-present way that he's all over campus. I follow him on Instagram, and I just, he's everywhere, and I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm always loving everything that you do, but I just love the new traditions that you and Amy are starting. I love watching you jog the campus, lose a little breath, but still be able to talk about our grounds and facilities, people that keep this campus looking beautiful. The great leadership that you have provided to us, this has been a really good year, and it's because of your leadership. And I look forward to not the daily phone calls, maybe every couple of day phone calls with you and working with you next year. I want to wish everyone a very restful and rejuvenating holiday season. Thank you to all of our liaisons for continuing to keep us abreast of what the boots on the ground are hearing and learning. And thank you to our amazing administrative and the staff here for all that you do to make MSU the incredible university that it is. We as a board cannot look as good as we do when we're able to do all of the great things that we do without you all as the worker bees that keep us in this university happen. So thank you all, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and a Happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Scott. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. I'm going to join my colleagues in expressing lots and lots of gratitude. First, I want to say congratulations to soon-to-be chair Brianna Scott. I look forward to working with you. It'll be a real honor to serve as your vice chair. And to our outgoing chair, Kelly Tebay, it has been an honor to work with you. And I agree with everything that's been said. Thank you for your time and your service. And thank you, Adam. All of us up here know that it's just not our own volunteer service, but our spouses, our families that serve alongside us. And so just thanks to both of you. Last board meeting, one of the actions we took was modifying the title of Dr. Jabbar Bennett. And I have reflected on that because one of the comments I made is that the work here remains and it continues to be done. And I really saw that in a concrete way in one of the roles that I serve as a trustee. As you may know, two trustees sit on the MSU Foundation Board, and we meet with the Foundation Board regularly. And at our most recent meeting, which was last week, I heard an incredible presentation from Dr. Deborah Johnson, who is our director of the Diversity Research Network and a faculty member in the MSU Department of Family Studies. And her presentation reminded me just how much the work continues. And so I wanted to just take a moment to share a little bit about it and elevate her work. And I'm hoping that maybe in a future board meeting you'll get to hear from her directly. But for now, let me just share a little bit about what I learned from her. Her presentation highlighted the crossover opportunities for faculty to conduct their research and also the Diversity Research Network within the Office for Inclusion, Excellence, and Impact. She emphasized institutional-level mentoring and support for faculty beyond departmental or college-level efforts. This program also contributes to faculty retention and recruitment at Michigan State. It helps create supportive faculty environments through writing spaces, small grant support, and collaborations. And as a result, faculty are producing multiple publications, submitting more grants, receiving more awards. Further endowment funds are also used to consistently support graduate students in these same programs, helping them progress toward degree completion, attend conferences, job seeking, and more. And so I really just want to commend Dr. Deborah Johnson for her work, and I appreciated learning more about it in my role in serving as a trustee representing all of us on MSU's Foundation Board. I want to say thank you to Doug Gage. It has also been an honor and a privilege to work with you. I wish you well in your retirement. I hope it means continuing to hang out with us and have some fun along the way. I want to also continue my expressions of gratitude and say thank you to John and Becky Duffy for another opportunity that I had over the Thanksgiving holiday where they hosted Spartan alumni in their home. And that event and events like that where we bring together leaders and supporters and friends who believe and support the priorities that our president is leading in his Uncommon Will, Far Better World campaign are really important and valued. And that was also a very memorable moment for me. The collective spirit at that event, the Spartan success is built on people who invest in and care deeply about this institution, was really felt. And we appreciate the enduring commitment of alumni and donors and partners whose generosity make transformational opportunities possible for our faculty, staff, and students. And of course, that was no more exemplified this past week than the gift from Greg and Don Williams. I also want to express my gratitude for that. As someone else who chose East Lansing as my home
now decades ago. I was really inspired by the way that even though they are not graduates, they've claimed Michigan State as their school. And so have I. I spent a decade on the faculty teaching here. I said that's where real education comes from, but also committing and living in this community and giving in the way they have is incredibly inspiring. And I am so grateful for them, and I'm grateful for the relationships that have been built by our president, by Kim Tobin, by Coach Izzo, and others to help us think about how we are an educational institution, not just for the students who enroll, but for anyone who wants to show up on our campus anytime. And that's completely exemplified by the gift from the Williamses, who are now Spartans as well. I also want to say a special thank you to Kim Tobin, because I am so impressed by the historic work she is leading. And she has done that in a relatively short time with us under multiple transitions and administrative leadership. And I think that she's done incredible work in very challenging circumstances. And so a special shout out to her. My shout outs continue because this has been a big week, but I promise I'm almost wrapping up. I have to say, so we do have a Wildcat in our family, and we have watched the career of Pat Fitzgerald since he became the youngest head football coach of a university team a couple decades ago. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that Wildcat would become a Spartan, but it looks like our president and our athletic director are able to make impossible things happen over and over again, and so I welcome Coach Fitzgerald to Michigan State. I'm excited to see him write his own Spartan story, which will now become part of all of our Spartan story. So Kevin and Jay, thank you for your work on all of that as well. And I wish you all a wonderful holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Trustee Baylor.
Thank you, Secretary Fletcher. A couple of attaboys. I'd like to recognize a few faculty today who have received awards in their disciplines and continue to represent MSU with distinction and excellence. Bruno Basso, a John A. Hanna Distinguished Professor, has been honored with the Soil Science Research Award for his internationally recognized contributions to sustainable agriculture, precision agricultural systems, and soil health innovation, including advanced modeling tools and field-based methods that help farmers improve yields, reduce inputs, and support long-term environmental stewardship. If there's a better way to support the land-grant original role of this college, I'd like to find it. Jason Miller, Eli Broad Endowed Professor of Supply Chain Management, has been appointed to the Michigan Supply Chain Commission by Governor Whitmer. Jason is a national expert in freight transportation and economic trends, and on this state commission, he will help guide statewide freight infrastructure and economic development policy for the state of Michigan, sorely needed. And Hassan Khalil, University Distinguished Professor Emeritus from the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, has been awarded the 2025 ASMSE Rufus Oldenberger Medal, the highest honor in automatic control, and it also recognizes a career that advanced theoretical controls worldwide. Hassan has shaped generations of Spartan engineers and established MSU as a global leader in the field. Really cool, I get to recognize those three, and that brings me to some comments. Dr. Berlinski was here, and I think he's left, but I just have to say that when you see things like that, that's art of the highest order. I mean, they came into this room and created something that didn't exist before. So much of that happens on our campus every day out there, not in the Hanna building, but in the real world of MSU, in the classrooms and in the laboratories. And a lot of it is invisible to many of us. So when we have a glimpse of that, it takes us to a higher place. And many times you can't even put it into words. I've said there's four things that bring people together worldwide. There's food, music, sports, and music, international language. And when you get that, it's to be cherished. So I thank them for taking us to a higher place. It reminds me of one story about 25 years ago. I was working for an automotive company at the time. We were working on an engineering problem. Something was breaking, as it often does in manufacturing. And our team was made up of people from India, from Korea, from Japan, and I think from Germany. And at the time, I was on a team with 25% of our engineers were from India. I ate so much good food and learned how to pronounce so many difficult names that most Americans have a hard time with. And I learned so much from them. But on this particular afternoon, I was watching five or six different people that were here from another country speak to each other in English to solve a problem that ultimately was solved. And I thought to myself, it was a serendipitous moment. I go, only here, maybe in other places, but here on this day, we had people that were from very different backgrounds, very different political systems, very different everything, and they came together to solve a problem. And I submit to you that that's one of the best things that we do here at MSU is bring people together from around the country and around the world and help take whatever they're working on to a higher place, and then collectively they help take MSU to a higher place. And that's what I hope for 26. I hope that people remember that and will strive for that. I would like to say that as far as the board goes, I hope that we've been able to make strides in 25 in terms of our performance and our transparency and our communicativeness. I respect and I appreciate the service of all my fellow board members, and I hope we can even be better in 26, because if you're not improving, you're going backward, and we always seek to improve. Now, ultimately, that will be up for you to decide, but we hope for a good 26. And I would like to say that during these holidays, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas if that's how you celebrate, Happy Holidays if you celebrate others. And if you don't celebrate anything, just have a very peaceful few weeks off with your friends and family. But remember those who make it all possible, our first responders, many of those that are in this room, who on our holidays will be working to keep us safe. Remember our service members overseas. And this year I'd like to offer a special thought and a prayer for all of our students who are either going back to parts of the world that are not exactly safe, or they have dear family members in parts of the world that are not safe. And I want you to know that I'm thinking of you, and I wish all the best and peace for everyone. And we'll see you in 26. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Trustee Bailo. Trustee Bassa.
I don't want to go after him again. So when you're doing your random
number generator,
randomly not put me after. That was really nice. Did a really good job. Wow. So caring, never again. Did you? You didn't make a note though. So
it's a little mystery.
Okay. All right. So following Trustee Bailo's, and I think Trustee Scott started with agriculture. I would also like to recognize the work of Isabella Lexia Rosales, a Beale Scholar, for her work in developing a comprehensive indigenous plant guide in partnership with local tribal and campus organizations. MSU's Beale Botanical Garden hosts a Four Sisters Garden, which supports community-centered storytelling and cultural education, which I think is really important. I'm proud of this work and the work that MSU is continuing to do to commit to inclusive and respectful leadership projects. I want to also thank Mark Largent. Provost, we talked yesterday a little bit about your team. You inherited some really good people, some gems, and Mark is one of those. In our academic affairs meeting, he continues to express this new way of framing student achievement, right, from a personal endeavor to an institutional responsibility, right, changing from student achievement, which is pretty common language, to opportunity, right? Opportunity gaps, not achievement gaps, puts the responsibility on the institution to make sure that everyone who is admitted to MSU ends up with a stellar career at Peacock and Lions games. It's our responsibility. I just appreciate that. It's a reframing that is so important. And I go to universities and K-12 spaces across the world, and that's not always what the conversation is. And so I'm just appreciative of you continuing that work and Mark and his heart for children. They're not children. Sorry, I'm sorry. Young adults. I think you should stay young as long as you can, personally. But, I mean, that's from my auntie's perspective. I wanted to also thank Doug Gage. I'm going to miss you because I learned something, and I like to learn. And I learned something at every single meeting because of the folks that you grab across the campus. And so I'm going to miss you. And I think you should go with your modern day picture on that plaque. You are like fine wine. Like, you literally have aged perfectly. Unlike Vinny, who had antlers for hair earlier, if you didn't see that. Yeah. Vinny, you have all your hair, sir. Like, why not go with this picture? I think you look distinguished and awesome and amazing, just like your career here, and I'm appreciative of you. I'm going to miss you. Go with the today plaque, though. Vinny, where's the antlers? You put those away. Okay. Oh, yeah. You need them. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Good job. See, Doug, what are you doing?
Real.
Yeah, those are real. And I want to congratulate Chair Tibe. You know, you and I used to be close, and I've watched you this year and last year from a distance grow and change and evolve. And it's been fascinating and remarkable to see your leadership shifting. And I'm appreciative that you're the inaugural chair for this new experiment and the rotating chair. I would echo the sentiments of all the other folks in saying that you kept all the wheels on the bus. And we had a pretty uneventful year for a change. And where am I? 5, 6. Dean Chambers. So Dean Chambers, I don't know very well. Who I do know is his wife, who's also at the College of Education, Tara. And I would say that Tara is one of those people who is, first of all, the College of Education is top-notch. Oh, and congratulations, Dean Chambers. But we all know the star is the wife, right? So Tara, in the College of Education, I want to go back to what you said about the College of Education being one of the number one. It is the number one College of Education in the United States. And so their commitment to that social foundations work is really important. And you'll see Tara, and I'm sure that's going to show up with Dean Chambers, committed to that. And I just want to make sure that we are still supporting the work of critical thought and critical consciousness in our classes. 6. Congratulations to all the grads. And I'm looking forward to listening to Dr. June, who has been a godsend for so many students, even one of my favorite Spartans, Lucius. So I'm looking forward to celebrating this weekend. And I'm almost done. Vinnie Gore Antlers, that's done. I want to thank VP Hintz for putting the BSA sign back on the door. And finally, in the words of Escape, I want you to kick off your shoes and relax your feet. You're too young for this. Party on down with your friends and family. Just relax and rest. This has been a year that has been trying in other ways for so many of us. Take this time to reflect and take this time to rejoice that we made it. And then you need to be stored up, because there's a lot to do next year. Nationally and internationally, there's a lot to do next year. So get some time to rest and come back renewed and refreshed and ready. Go green.
Thank you very much, Trustee Vassar. Trustee Pierce.
Thank you, Stefan. Kelly, thank you for leading us this past year. I join my other colleagues to just say you've made a real difference, and we appreciate you. I want to thank the faculty liaisons and congratulate Angela. Thank you for your input. Thank you to the student liaisons. We need your input, and you certainly come well prepared every time we have a work session, so we appreciate that. Doug, of course, congratulations to you. You don't really retire. You just do things differently. And so we're looking forward to continue to work with you. And then Trustee Behar Cook, congratulations and good luck next week. I think it's a great honor. So as we gather for our final board meeting of the year, I want to extend my warmest wishes to all of my fellow trustees, our dedicated staff, the entire university community, and everyone watching. I wish you all a truly happy, healthy, and restful holiday season. This meeting marks a personal milestone for me as I conclude the third of 6 years of my appointment by Governor Whitmer. I was honored to be entrusted with finishing the remainder of a former trustee's 8-year term. While the last 3 years have certainly been challenging, they have also brought such remarkable opportunities for growth and change at Michigan State. These opportunities have included critical leadership decisions and historic milestones, such as the hiring of our new athletic director, Jay Batt, the selection of our new head football coach, Pat Fitzgerald, the enduring strength of our programs, athletic programs, under the leadership of our Hall of Famer, Tom Izzo, and the recent monumental generosity of Greg and Don Williams and their $401 million commitment to this university, which will indeed transform our future. I especially want to acknowledge President Guskowitz. President, thank you for your bold, strategic leadership since joining us. As you approach your second anniversary this coming March, I am confident that your vision and dedication will continue to guide Michigan State to new heights for many, many years to come. The strength of MSU lies in the unity and commitment of our Spartan community. As we step into the new year, I remain absolutely dedicated to working alongside all of you to ensure MSU fulfills its mission as a global leader in education and research. Thank you. Go Green.
All right. Thank you very much. Trustee Bayhawk Cook.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go after Sandy, so if you're taking...
Okay, well, just...
Thank you. Thank you all for your kind things. I appreciate that. Kelly, I want to add, as a new board member, I appreciate the time that you took to teach me, to listen to me, to guide me so that I could better serve the university. And I want to thank all my fellow board members for that. I think each of you have, in one way or another, helped me serve well, and I thank you for that. President Guskowitz, you're an inspirational leader, and your administration team has also helped to make sure I don't go off the rails, so I want to share my thanks to them as well. You know, it's a lot to learn your first year, so thank you. To our December graduates, I really look forward to commencement ceremonies over the next 2 days. For those who will be watching with me, please take note of those white stoles indicating a first-generation graduate. MSU does an incredible job supporting all of our students, and, you know, nothing makes me smile more than to watch those graduates walk across the stage. That's why we're here. I'd also like to thank staff from the College of Human Medicine for facilitating a recent tour for Trustee Bailow and I, showing us the Grand Rapids facility as a part of our extended trustee onboarding. I mean, watching the collaboration between Corewell Health and sort of even within our own research, learning about how the Alzheimer's folks are talking to the Parkinson's folks to make sure that we're, like, really advancing research was fun and something I had not known before I walked in there. I also want to highlight one of my favorite things about Michigan State University, the Wharton Center. You know, that was the Williams' first gift. But they have created Wharton Series Club 750, now in its third year. It transforms the Jackson Lounge into a 100-seat club-style venue featuring music, cabaret, comedy, curated food and drink in a really intimate atmosphere. So for those of you who are Gilded Age fans, you missed the opportunity to watch Claiborne Elder. He's played John Adams, do a cabaret performance, and oh my God, he was absolutely hilarious. He is from Utah and joked about being called Elder when he was younger. But you're missing your opportunity if you're not going. They have some really great performances coming up in February. Singer Patty Murn will be there, and we have a comedian, Lance LaBrie. So I would encourage folks to check that out. And then I want to recognize the university's distinguished professors. MSU's highest faculty honor for exceptional teaching, scholarship, and public service. Thank you to Provost Laura Lee McIntyre for her leadership and championing of these faculty. I got to witness firsthand at the award ceremony who these people are and what it is they do. And it was really, really awe-inspiring. The University Distinguished Professor title recognizes MSU faculty with nationally and internationally acclaimed records of excellence in teaching, research, creative achievement, and public service. The 2025 honorees represent 10 colleges and disciplines, each bringing distinction to MSU through superior scholarly impact, student mentorship, and service to communities in Michigan and beyond. And if you'd indulge me, I'd like to name those professors because what they do is amazing. Nwandu Uchebi, College of Social Science, Department of History. Jiwon Chen, College of Social Science, Department of Geography. David Duches, College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Science. Kathleen Fitzpatrick, College of Arts and Letters, Department of English. Alexandra Grade, College of Natural Science, Faculty for Rare Isotope Beams, Department of Physics and Astronomy. Jennifer Johnson, College of Human Medicine, Department of Public Health. Leo Kemple, College of Engineering, Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, who was also a first-generation student, by the way. Richard Lunt, College of Engineering, Department of Chemical Engineering and Material Sciences. Kristen Wren, College of Education, Department of Educational Administration. And as Trustee Scott stole from me, the congratulations to Angela Wilson, College of Natural Sciences, Department of Chemistry. I mean, I'm not joking when I say, you know, so much of what we hear as board members is this is what you need to do better. And thank you for the input that people are always willing to give us. But when we get to go to these events that honor our students, honor our professors, honor our alumni, it's our moment to sort of pause and be proud of the work that those behind us and hopefully those in front of us will do. So thank you all very much and Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you very much. Trustee Denner.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize two friends and two community leaders who passed away this month. One is former State Representative Fred Durhall. I was fortunate enough to be a staffer in the Michigan legislature when Fred Durhall was in the legislature, and just a really, really good dude. He was a lifelong Detroiter. He was one of 12 siblings. He was an incredibly compassionate human being. And I learned so much from him. I think one of his proudest accomplishments was during Detroit's bankruptcy when some wanted to balance the books on the back of Detroit pensioners. You know, he fought really, really hard to protect those Detroit residents and those pensioners who earned that pension. And he did. He succeeded in that, and that was a great accomplishment. And it just shows what a great dude he was. And, you know, his son, also named Fred Durhall, is a city councilman, and him and his wife, Brianna, are good friends and really good people. And their dad, Fred Durhall Sr., will definitely be missed. Another person we lost Tuesday was a good friend, Norm Namey, who lived in DeWitt with his family. He was 25 years with the Lansing Police Department. He was one of the things he did there was he was part of the canine unit, which he was really proud of. I know Chief Yankowski, you and him were good friends and served together with Lansing Police. He was a proud father of his two kids, a proud husband of his awesome wife, Julie. He's just an incredibly generous human being, always gave of himself. And he, you know, every time I was with him, I learned something. I mean, he was a true educator. I just love the guy. He was proud of his Arab American heritage, his Lebanese American heritage. You know, he didn't go to school here, but he loved MSU sports, and he was a really good friend. And he has a ton of friends, and he's going to definitely be missed. And with that, I once again just want to thank everyone in law enforcement for all you do, for our communities. Thanks.
Thank you, trustees. We will now proceed to the public participation on items not germane to the agenda portion of the meeting. Each individual who signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. You'll hear the buzzer at the 30-second mark and again when your time has concluded.
Given the number of speakers today, we ask that you do not exceed your allotted time, and note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We will now hear from Aidan Haas, followed by Tom Munley. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Aidan Haas, and I'm proud to serve as chairman of Michigan State's chapter of Young Americans for Freedom, as well as treasurer of Michigan State College Republicans. Just over 3 months ago, Charlie Kirk was shot at a university very similar to ours, simply for speaking his mind. However, based on available data, this should come as no surprise. Prior to his death, FIRE published a survey of MSU students, which showed that 38% of the student body believed that violence, in at least some cases, is acceptable in order to stop someone from speaking, with a similar nationwide survey showing that number to be 22%. Universities and governments certainly shouldn't dictate students' beliefs, but this institution is actively opposing conservative ideas, suppressing dissenting voices, and promoting an overtly racial view of the world. Take the College of Education's TE 101 class, for example, whose singular textbook calls for such things as the elimination of whiteness, teaches that the American school system is inherently racist, and much more. It seems to serve no other purpose than to further divide a generation which is already at its most divided in memory along deep racial lines. The syllabus states that the class is guided by the principles of the Black Lives Matter movement, a radically left-wing political ideology. A conservative student could reasonably assume from this that any disagreement with the class content, which appears to be almost entirely race-based, will negatively affect their grade. This problem is not isolated to TE 101. I have heard from many people spanning the colleges of education, social science, and natural science that they would never speak their beliefs in class for fear of grade retaliation. In one such instance, a student who has been afraid to speak his mind because he is a first-generation college student who is concerned that sharing his beliefs would hinder his success. This is America, and here, those two things should not conflict. This extends far beyond academics. ASMSU, the student government which supposedly represents us, consistently passes bills condemning conservative ideas and activism, most recently accusing all those who seek to investigate classes like TE 101 of being a direct threat to academic freedom. This is the same student government that is an active violation of the Trump administration's DEI order and the 14th Amendment in the makeup of its representative body. We are not calling for a conservative Michigan State. We are calling for a Michigan State where everyone can speak their opinions without fear of academic repercussions. Just because we aren't burning flags doesn't mean our opinions don't exist. MSU shouldn't continue to reward the most disruptive students by pushing ideologies to appease them. I ask all of you today to make a firm commitment to protect everyone's academic freedoms on campus and to work to change programs that don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Aidan. Our next speaker is Tom Munley, appearing via Zoom, and then James Thurston, who also should be on Zoom. Tom, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Yep. Please proceed with your remarks. Good morning.
Thank you. Trustees, President Guskowitz, I'm here to encourage you to reinstate varsity swimming and diving. President Guskowitz, in your introductory press conference for Pat Fitzgerald, you spoke powerfully about family and integrity. No doubt those words resonated with many in the MSU universe because for so long MSU leadership has not acted with integrity, often saying one thing and doing another. Today, I ask an honest question. Were your words simply the polished platitudes of a seasoned politician or a true commitment to leading Michigan State in the right way? Because integrity should not just be a talking point. Its origin, the word integer meaning whole, something complete, undivided. Integrity means aligning words with actions so the whole stands together. And MSU for many years has struggled with that wholeness. We have lived through decisions from past presidents, athletic directors, and even this board that lacked integrity. Moments when all Spartans and alumni watched leadership choose expedience over principle, convenience over truth, and budgets over people. Over the last year, we have seen new signs of a newfound integrity in your leadership. We are still watching to see whether this new era of leadership will persist and whether Michigan State is prepared to embody the values you, President Guskowitz, have professed. It is fitting that this question comes during the holiday season when families gather together to reconnect and to repair what has been broken, at a time when we are reminded of what it means to belong to family and what it means, how important it is when one is restored that has been divided. The Spartan Swimming and Diving family embodies everything this university claims to value in its family with a legacy that is undeniable. 405 All-Americans, 127 Big Ten champions, 45 national champions, 40 academic All-Americans, 20 Olympians. In 2020, the women's team posted the number one team GPA in the nation, and the men were sixth in the country. And thousands of hours of community service completed in the greater Lansing area. SwimSwam.com placed MSU's program as the 18th best collegiate program of all time. The heritage of this program represents excellence, character, and service. And the one thing you cannot purchase, no matter how large the donation, tradition. You can't buy a 99-year history. There's a saying, you can't choose your family, although in this case you can. And this is a part of the family anyone would be proud to choose. By reinstating Varsity Swimming and Diving, President Guskowitz, you have the chance to lead with integrity, not in word but in action, to make Michigan State whole again. It's time to bring this part of the family back together. It's time to finish righting the wrongs of your predecessors. It's time to show that integrity and family are not slogans at MSU. They are commitments backed by action. The pool is being built. It should have water ready next year. Money is clearly not an issue now. Not that it ever really was. But now is the time to restore integrity to MSU and bring back Varsity Swimming and Diving. President Guskowitz, this moment is an opportunity for you to make MSU truly whole again. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody happy holidays. Go green. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Our next speaker is James Thurston, also appearing via Zoom, and then Liam Brockie. James, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Well, yes, indeed. Please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you. Good morning. Before my remarks, I wanted to thank you guys for having the diverse group of international musicians there today, including from Big Rapids. It was very much appreciative of having them. Last week was a historic week for MSU with an incredible gift and an energetic new coach. I'm truly hopeful. So I don't feel great knowing that I may be seen as a negative Nelly here, but I was stunned to learn some facts about MSU data I had started researching prior to the announcement. Michigan State women stand to lose more intercollegiate roster spots as a result of the Haas settlement and will have a bigger gender participation gap at any point since 2020. 364 men, 327 women, 37 fewer spots. I'm crushed. Now, in October 2023, I told the board and then you, Mr. President, about the roster manipulation and the 75 rowers photographed in their team photo, predicted that miraculously the rowers would be over 90, and I was right. That manipulation is inexcusable to me. We need new heads of athletics compliance that care about women's issues and not just contorting arguments for Title IX compliance. However, what I recently learned was the impending soul-crushing losses in other sports compared to 2021. 29 spots in women's cross country, 42 in indoor-outdoor track and field, and 12 others. 83 positions for women on top of the 38 already cut. Now, some individuals may be in multiple sports, but still. Trustees T-Bay Scott, Nick Jefferson, Vassar. Unfortunately, under your tenures, women will lose 121 opportunities to compete. Is this really what you want your legacies to be? Mr. President and Board, has anyone told you about this impact already? And if not, ask yourselves why not. When I first spoke to the board many years ago, I said the culture of silence is alive and well at Michigan State University in the post-Larry Nassar era. I assure you this was known, and people, coaches and athletes and others, did not want to come forward on this, being scared to speak up. This is exactly what I meant. Related, Mr. President, I emailed you in June about the importance of culture changes at MSU. The state news article this week is the type of behavior I was alluding to. Power wielding and silence is part of MSU's culture, and I doubt this is the only area. I reiterate my email and beg of you, please continue to address the culture and empower people to speak up. This is your greatest initiative. Get those cancers out. Finally, I've provided you the Attorney General letter from last September 2024, as it seems that perhaps you all misplaced it. I have highlighted excerpts for you. For example, do you think Penske Automotive would allow a general counsel to stay on with that level of public excoriation? I live in Indianapolis. Roger fired his racing team president over smooth attenuators for the good of the 500 in the series. That's nothing like this. We need change. A likable, dynamic, and very wise leader once said, start with yes. I look forward to continuing to work with you on Title IX and MSU culture initiatives. Go green and happy holidays.
Thank you, James. Our next speaker is Liam Brockie, also on Zoom. And then
actually,
Victor.
No, I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez, you appeared.
I was on Zoom. I had the time to come. So.
Liam, teleportation. Good morning. Good afternoon. And please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you. My name is Liam Brockie. I'm a professor in the history department. I have a level of cognitive dissonance at this moment, which is shocking. For the past several months, when the history department faculty meets, we hear doom and gloom from our department chair. We hear that funding is being cut, that budgets are being reduced, that everything is on hold. We have stopped hiring new faculty members, which we desperately need in the history department to replace folks who have retired. We are considering pausing graduate admissions. We are actually not permitted now to mail out our published work via the U.S. mail unless we pay for it. I write books. We're in a book discipline. It becomes expensive to do this. Not everything happens via an email. I came to this meeting, however. I've been on Zoom for a while before I appeared magically in presence. And what I heard is everything is wonderful. Everything is so wonderful here. The College of Arts and Letters has paused graduate admissions. The College of Social Science is under tremendous pressure to pause graduate admissions. I would like to use a metaphor which will perhaps resonate to the football-minded among you. This is the NCAA death penalty for our university, for excellence at our university. Do you know why? Because graduate students are what makes this university go. You heard them play for you. We heard them, actually all of those international graduate students that were here, playing wonderful music for you. The folks in history do the same thing. The folks in anthropology do the same thing. In the foreign languages do the same thing. They're all highly trained professionals to become, they're individuals who are on their way to becoming highly trained professionals. What we have done by making the university's colleges, two of the most important colleges on this campus that train hundreds of graduate students and thousands of undergraduates, by pausing graduate admissions is to put a throttle on the neck of this of education at this university. I am livid about this. We need graduate students here. We cannot pause admissions. Pausing admissions, I know it has a financial cost, but apparently we can maybe ask our friends, the donors, that to prize graduate education in the humanities and social sciences, since those are things that really require their support. I teach a class that has 300 students in it. I will start in January. I have 4 graduate students to help me. This class has a charge to teach writing. I cannot teach writing to 300 people in a room. I need graduate students. I have 4 this semester. Will I have any next year? I certainly hope so. Madam Provost, this is something that is crucial to our mission of education and research. Thank you.
Thank you, Liam. Our next speaker is Victor Rodriguez Pereira, followed by Andaluna Borcia. Apologies. Victor, good afternoon.
Is it afternoon? I lost track of time.
It is, yes. Yeah, it is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you today. I was here last month talking with you about a series of issues that are affecting faculty, students as well, but mostly faculty on campus. I think our previous speaker addressed some of those. But today I'm here to talk specifically about academic freedom. I'm not going to take a lot of your time because two of my other colleagues from the faculty from the tenure faculty group and the graduate students will also talk about this. But I recognize, and I think we all do recognize the challenges that we are all facing as a university, as an institution. And although I think we can talk about a lot of different things like budget, academic freedom, and everything else, academic freedom is essential to what we do on campus. Without academic freedom, we don't have a university. We have a propaganda center. And I said this before, and I think we can agree that we do not want to become that. And so what we are asking the university today is not to do anything that is out of the ordinary. We're not asking anyone to all of a sudden become revolutionaries and go out there and do other things that are not what we do, which is teach, inquire, and instill critical thinking. But what our faculty does and what they're expecting and what they would hope that the university does is to know that the university will stand by them. I'm personally, as president of UNTF, getting emails every now and then of our members asking us, is there any sort of liability insurance offered by the union or the university in case I get in trouble for teaching something? We have faculty members that have been doxxed in web pages, websites online that are designed to basically persecute people just for the way they think and just for the values that they espouse. Contrary to the gaslighting that other groups are pushing forward as freedom, academic freedom, faculty and graduate students value the true values of freedom, the kind that aim at creating the campus where ideas can be questioned and thought can flourish. And so while other groups want to disguise control as freedom, what we do is to instill the spirit of free inquiry that is so important and central to the mission of the university. I think we all can agree on that, and I think we can work on that together. And so our colleagues will speak more about that, but I thank you for the opportunity, and I hope that we can take this as a first step towards a larger conversation about academic freedom on campus. Thank you.
Victor, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Andaluna Borchia, followed by Jared Moore. Andaluna, hello. Good afternoon.
Give me 1 second to put my laptop here. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Andaluna Borchila. I'm a faculty member and member of the organizing committee of the Union of Tenure System Faculty. At the initiative of the Graduate Employees Union, GEO, folks from GU, UNTF, and UTSF co-authored a joint statement from which I will read now. My apologies. The GEU, the UNTF, and the UTSF stand together to demand support for academic freedom from the Board of Trustees, President Guskovich, and MSU administration. MSU recognizes, and I quote from the faculty handbook, academic freedom and responsibility as essential to attainment of the university's goal of the unfettered search for knowledge and its free exposition, end quote. We call upon the MSU Board of Trustees and President to uphold both the practice and principles of academic freedom and to ensure that these are not narrowed through compliance with authoritarian demands that undermine ideals for which our university stands. Academic freedom enables our faculty and graduate students to pursue their cutting-edge research and teaching, and it is the bedrock upon which we have built our national and international reputation. We therefore demand that, one, MSU administration pledge to protect and defend the academic freedom of its educators, tenure system faculty, fixed-term faculty, and graduate student instructors and research assistants in the classroom and in their research. Two, MSU administration take immediate action on behalf of employees whose academic freedom has been threatened through doxing or targeting, and that this action be determined by a clear plan shared with the MSU community in anticipation of such an event. This includes but is not limited to legal assistance and support in these instances. Three, MSU administration guarantee academic freedom protections for international, immigrant, and undocumented educators employed at the institution, including continued pay, benefits, and tuition waivers for employees and students whose visas are affected due to current politicization in education, and ensure that affected graduate students may complete their degrees. Academic freedom is only possible alongside measures to protect the physical safety of international, immigrant, and undocumented educators. And four, MSU administration and Board of Trustees agree to abide by the Faculty Senate resolution on the Compact for Academic Excellence in Higher Education, and thus reject any compact that compromises academic freedom at MSU. We all have the right to academic freedom in our teaching and research. Protecting that freedom means protecting our campus community and maintaining MSU's national and international reputation as a top institution for research, teaching, and community engagement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Jared Moore. Jared, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Jared Moll. I'm the president of the Graduate Employees Union, and I represent about 1,000 graduate teaching assistants here on campus. And I'd like to echo what our other union leadership has also said about academic freedom. And I, as a graduate student, I occupy two roles. First, as a student, I get to come here. It is a privilege to be paid to study what I want with people who challenge me, with professors who do the same thing, and also teach. I'm a public school kid. I don't know who else is, but with the funding that we get, it provides opportunities for people like me to come here. I taught high school for 8.5 years, and high school students have a lot of different opinions, and it's also my job as an educator to acknowledge that and to provide a space where people can speak about that. I do the same thing in my classroom here. And so I was really shocked when two members of the Graduate Employees Union were doxxed online through an op-ed that was disguised as an article about what they teach in the classroom and how they do that. When I read it, I didn't know who the graduate teaching assistant was. However, just using the student information system without any questionable ethics involved, I was able to find that person's name, and our union was able to reach out to them. We spoke with them about how to support them and also provide legal assistance if necessary. I'm asking the Board of Trustees and the university to support us in our teaching, in our learning, and not just as graduate students, but of course as students, undergraduate students, so that they can have those opportunities as well. Stalling my time here. but I really think that, you know, I came to this university, I am a Michigander, but I went out of state to teach, and I came back specifically because my advisor, she studies art and literature and how people thrive under an authoritarian government. And I think that her permission and ability to convey what she teaches, but also bring that into the present and ask our students to review or to study, you know, things that the East German government did, as well as how people thrived, and then reflect on their own experiences. I think that's powerful, and I don't think that, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jared, President Guskowitz. That concludes a public participation for this meeting.
Great, thank you. I want to again thank all of you for being here. I wish you a restful and happy holiday season. And with that, I'll ask if there is a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The meeting's adjourned.